participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hi, can I speak to Larry King, please?
No.
Oh, okay. Could you patch me through to him? It's kind of urgent.
Yeah.
Rob Williamson?
Are you friends
with well, actually, I'm going to be a guest later on this show.
Hello,
Larry. I just called you a few minutes ago. I was just wondering, what are you enjoying today for lunch? I
And now, live from Washington, D.C., here's Larry.
My guest is Robert Daly. His newest book is A Faint Cold Fear. It is published by Little Brown. We'll be going to your calls at the bottom of the hour at 703-685-2177. Are you already working on the next one?
Well, I know pretty well what I want to do, and there's a long process to go through. I have to write an outline, and although I have a contract with the publisher, they have the right to, you know, diddle with my outline, which they always do, and I have to work out the details and then start it and then write it, and so we're talking about another year here. And the end of the year gets very long because whatever you may have done, I mean, you've written enough books to know this. Until you write the end, at the end of it, you got nothing. You've been, you know, you can't sell anything until you finish the last page.
Who's your agent?
Huh?
Who's your agent?
ICM, Esther Newberg.
I know Esther.
Lovely woman.
Yeah, he's a Sterling Lord.
Oh, you do. Sterling was my agent for years and years and years.
I like him. He's not vigorous.
No.
He has a kind of nice manner.
Yeah.
I think if I were a full-time writer, I don't think I'd use Sterling. I like someone more.
Yeah.
For me, it's fine. You know, I get these. But I just got a real nice advance to do a book on growing up in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Like Russell Baker did about Baltimore, right about just what the street was like in the neighborhood.
Well, you got four books already behind you.
Yeah. Yours on the bestseller list yet?
It's not yet. It's only been out 1 month, and the book, the bestseller list is 2 weeks behind, as you know. But it's had wonderful sales in Europe. I'm really astonished.
Same color?
I don't know. I don't know what they'll do. I don't like the cover. It's got two messages. Yeah, it's okay. It's got two messages on it, both of which are, you know, sort of against the female.
Can't read this.
Apartment in New York, but I really live mostly in Connecticut, in New Canaan.
East side?
West side, right opposite the Museum of Natural History.
Nice, I like this.
Yeah.
It's really growing, that area.
Uh-huh.
Columbus.
Yeah. Lots of empty stores, you know. These landlords who jack up the rents and force people out that have been there for years, now in our times, in the recession, they're stuck with it. Good.
Damn right. Now, I thought we were on a break. Okay, so we've been sitting here all the time, talking and not talking. Does anybody signal me? Are we on a break? Did we take a break? No, we're back. Well, you never signal me back from a break. Are we on? Did anyone ever say, "Here's Larry"? Did you hear it, Robert?
No, I did not.
Robert didn't hear it, and I didn't hear it. I'm just talking to the crew. I realized we're on. I looked up. I saw the light. Neither of us ever heard a signal come back, so we have been sitting here. Welcome to the Larry King Show. Our guest is Robert Daly. We're going to pause for news headlines, a word from your local stations, and when we come back, we will take your phone calls. Our numbers are 703-685-2177, and this is semi-hysterical. Yeah, we are on. Thank you. Okay, all I'm telling you is, Mr. Daly and I were sitting here. Last I remember was breaking for commercial, and we never came back. We never came back. So if we came back, we thank you. And if you heard us talking, I don't know what we were talking about, Robert.
We're talking about agents and things like
agents.
That. Agents. And much interest.
Couldn't have been. If you heard, whatever you heard, we didn't curse.
He's going to have to live with this boner for a long time.
Welcome to the Don and Michael Show.
I hope you're rotten in hell, you loser!
Starring Don
Geronimo! You suck! You don't deserve a car!
Frank O'Mara.
That's what I love about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age.
Hey, go take clothes, man.
America's favorite jerky.
I'm so wasted.
Bye. We're back.
Yee-haw! Welcome to the Dynamite Show.
That's it, Ed. We bang.
Oh, yeah.
Paranoid.
That is a very south of the border type of intro, and I enjoy that.
Hola. That is muy bien.
Bueno.
Bueno, yes. And it's good. El Gudo.
Fiesta.
And thank you, O.
Casa de Pepe.
Oh, sing it again.
The Don and Mike Show.
One more time, like you mean it.
The Don and Mike Show.
Now I believe you. You can call Don and Mike anytime. From anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe in you.
Hello!
Hi there.
Hello. Hello.
Back before he was an ampersand, when he was Prince. He had his spaghetti day.
Oh, look out, look out!
Delirious.
He's back to being Prince again, right?
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Hello.
Okay. Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi,
we appreciate it.
Oh, look out! Look out!
Look out!
Look out! Look out!
Somebody's coming. Climbing up the side of our building right now.
Going awful slow.
Thunder of the wire!
I'm a
you ever hear it?
Today I'm just going to do the open by looking in the window. If
How's your
John Madden chili dog?
Actually, Rob, as he said last night, it's spaghetti.
Yeah, it is.
It's spaghetti with chili on it.
Yeah.
And you find it in Cincinnati.
Right. Chili mac.
Oh, and yeah. Green Bay.
Oh, chili mac.
And it was at that point that the game obviously was out of control because they were just asking John Madden to comment on the chili dog.
Have you been to that place, Steak and Shake? Have you ever heard of that joint?
Oh, sure, in Indianapolis.
Big, big thing. Steak and Shake serves the chili mac. Fantastic.
And they only employ people with Parkinson's.
That's right. Exactly.
Steak and Shake. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Castro and all the ships at sea. Closed down their machete stand on the 1600 block of Pennsylvania Avenue. It's Don Geronimo, and it's Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. You can tell by the smell. Don and Mike Show, everybody, and it's a new episode on this Monday.
Monday.
08 14. 1-800-5800-866.
Hi, Donna Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
No, he's not retarded.
There you go. You just played that one, Buzz. And hi, this is it. It's the show.
This is the show right
here. We're queer. This is it. You can call us. We have phone numbers for you. 877-365-3636 from anywhere in America or Canada. We're also on your computer. Go to DonnaMikeWebsite.com. Click on Listen Now, Listen Live, whatever it says. And you can do that. You can also email us during the show.
Norman.
There he is back there. Our web guy, Yanni. Hey, Yanni.
Hello. Damn it.
He gets the emails, and he shields Mike and I from your hateful words.
Yes. And he is also the commissioner of our fantasy football league.
Yes, more on that in a moment, because he is a moron. I don't even know why I said that.
Maybe it's a somehow. I heard it. It sounded like perhaps a comment, an advance salvo sent in the direction of the commissioner, because maybe the commissioner has done something you don't approve of.
No, I just... He will. I'm ready. I'm ready to start. And yeah, you know, that could be...
You're ready to start with the show or fantasy football?
Yes.
Okay.
And yes. Let me see. Oh, we're also on iTunes. Mm-hmm. Go to iTunes, put Don Ampersand Mike, just like that squiggly thing that Prince has for his name.
Yeah, but don't do all, like, the crosses and whatever he's got in there. Just the regular ampersand.
And just subscribe and you get the show on your podcast. Yes, absolutely, especially after this weekend with all of the games on and so many of them on and rebroadcast. It was just wonderful. We've got to have our fantasy football draft order because not only am I going to be in our league this year, I'm going to be in a family league. My brother-in-law, Doug,
good,
came up with a great idea, you know, for the first time ever. How about, you know, all the people...
This would be the first time he's ever had a good idea?
Yes.
Wow.
That's his first ever good idea.
Nice of you to point that out.
I believe so.
Yeah. Way to go, Doug.
First time.
First of many.
Attaboy, Doug.
First time he's... I guarantee it's the first time I've ever responded within 1 minute to an email he has sent.
Ah.
It is the first time that I have not simply either clicked keep as new or just left to sit there.
So you got a two? Are there more than two, or are two the only ones?
Well, there may be a third that I'm doing as well. There may be a third. So really...
Remember you used to be in that big famous one with Bob Costas and those
guys? That was just one time. That was many years ago.
Yeah, many moons ago.
Now I'm just ready for our fantasy draft, and I need the mock draft. The mock draft. I'm watching these players. I'm the only idiot watching these games on the weekend, evaluating the players. I'm baby stepping, but right. I don't know if I'm picking one or if I'm picking ten. Yeah.
Are we supposed to do that today?
Oh, I'd like to. I mean, I don't want to junk up the whole beginning of the show. But
did we determine that last week we were going to just draw numbers out of a hat?
I think so. I think that's what you and I wanted.
Well, then someone was trying to turn it into a playing card deal.
Well, whose names are? Is it on the show again? Let me just.
The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
There you go. Okay, right. Caesar. There you go.
So we were going to do that, and then they brought out the cards, and we said we'd wait till this week.
Yeah. So let's just do it at some point today. Just draw however many slips of paper there are for people in the league, and just pull out one that says, "Well, what your draft number is, please,
good.
please, and thank you."
Mother may I.
LOL, ROFL, IMHO.
What's ROFL?
Rolling on the floor laughing.
Okay.
XXOO.
That's hugs and kisses.
Hugs and kisses. Right.
LOL's laugh out loud.
Yes.
Right.
C-Y-A.
MB.
See ya.
Oh, not cover your ass.
See ya.
MB, my bad. I just made one up.
You can't make one up. Don't think so, Mike. No.
You misspoke, like in an email. MB.
Now, of course, if you are dyslexic, well, then that's BM.
BM.
And that's a totally different topic.
That's how we end all our emails. No, you and I do yours in Christ.
We do.
Which we've done for years.
That is something that is probably going to land us, if nothing else, on the top floor of hell.
Wouldn't it be funny if, with all the stuff we've done, that we got up there and that was it? You know, so that now listen, I give you a free pass on this. I give you a free pass on this. Being cruel to your fellow man, but a free pass on that. Did you guys sign a bunch of letters, yours in Christ? That is truly blasphemy. Straight there, top floor.
Sit up there with God. Is
big, cry, baby.
See ya. Big Santa Claus beard on. Charlton Heston looking, you know. Looking at you and I going.
Go upstairs.
You know. What is this? Dear Mike.
It's your golden ticket
to Hades. Dear Mike, Did you hear blank, blank, blank got fired? What a scum-sucking son of a bitch. He deserves it. Yours in Christ, Don. And the reply, Dear Don, never have I been so happy.
I hated that guy more than anybody.
I'd like to do what they did in those movies, one of those Vietnam movies, where they cut off his thing and put it in his mouth. Yours in Christ,
Mike. And then they staple them together and send us both down to the man That's with the right. pitchfork.
We do. Mainly, really, yours in Christ mm-hmm. in the email form between Mike and I normally comes out when the topic is something that is
violent or evil,
hateful.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
We do it a lot.
Yeah.
We really do it almost all the time.
Well, we do.
That's going to be the one that'll get us there. That'll be it.
That's how we mock God away from the radio.
We mock men of God, Don. I don't like to say we mock God. We mock men of God.
Because oh, no, we're mocking God.
Men of God sign their letters. You know, that, I believe
you
that's
and I
the
are
way.
Mock, no, let's call
that's
it.
That's the way priests sign their letters.
Call a spade a spade.
Yes.
We are, listen, you're knocking the institution. You're knocking the
man.
The commish.
Well, you more than anybody understand.
He's the CEO.
I don't want to get into one of our theology discussions again, but, you know more than anyone that you've said it, that these are men that are coming up with these
right.
Yours in Christ comments.
Flesh and bone.
Right.
Right. Look at,
mm-hmm.
hey, how about Hitler's 12 commandments?
Right. Oh, that's right. Suggestions.
Let's think about that.
Where he was modifying the 10 commandments.
Let's bring that into our discussion about religion.
Germans with God.
Yeah.
Is that what it was? Strange that you have that committed to memory.
Isn't it?
He's got a lot of stuff committed to memory.
He does.
Oh, okay, before we start the show, or I guess let's actually start the show. We'll do the fantasy draft stuff in a second. The weekend. I don't have any argument stories to tell you this weekend.
Aww.
I had a peaceful weekend.
I think a lot of people had peaceful weekends due to the outstanding weather.
Yep. I did not play golf. I did not chat with my a-hole neighbor. So I had a real decent weekend with my girlfriend. Now listen, like with everything, with a girl, it's almost like with a car. You know, when you get a car.
Sometimes you say things that really don't involve any further explanation. I know you need to explain to our listening audience, but I understand exactly what you're saying.
Most,
you could stop right there.
Most
and
guys do.
Yeah.
You know.
Drive gently during the break-in period.
No, not at all, Buzz.
No?
Rust-proofing?
No, Rob. And I'm going to give my girlfriend a compliment here.
Mm-hmm.
That normally you get a new car, and when you first get it, and well, Golden Boy, you know this.
Mm-hmm.
You go through cars more than you go through wives.
Let's not get crazy.
You get
that number is just about equal.
But anyway, you get the car, and for like I don't know whatever period of time it is, depending on the guy, it's the greatest thing in the world. And I mean, it's like you're opening up the window to look at it, and you love the new car smell, and you're keeping it just as clean as a whistle, and you resolve to yourself, you make yourself all these promises. This is going to be the one that's going to be my beauty, and you look at it, and then, one day it rains, or a bird takes a crap on it.
I always like the car the best during the test drive.
Or
if only you could just keep test driving.
Or it gets,
yeah, it
right?
seems to me that it
well,
starts
can,
to go
right?
downhill when you sign the papers.
So you get the first ding, and then all of a sudden, 6 months later, this car that you were in love with,
uh-huh.
you realize it's a nice enough car.
Right.
But, gosh darn, if that one driving by don't look a little better.
Yeah, exactly.
And the longer you're driving...
It's what the auto industry is counting on.
Right. And that's how it is in the women industry, too, Mike.
I don't understand.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do. I'm lying.
Please. It's
Monday, and I'm already lying.
I am like Kung Fu, and you're like the grasshopper.
I understand.
You know, I'm Obi, and you're Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or whatever the dumb father. Or I'm Darth, and you're Obi, or whatever.
I want to be Chewbacca.
Rob.
Your analogy almost holds up.
You cannot get arrested for kicking your car.
There's where it falls apart.
There's a difference.
Right.
So, well, it's usually you just kick the tires, Rob.
Kick it wherever you want if it's your car.
So anyway, because I was married for 25 years until Frida passed away, this whole thing about girlfriend is still new to me.
Mm.
And as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we had our first little skirmish, and not that she's not like a new car, the new car smell is worn off of, but, and I'm sure she would say the same about me. It was a very nice surprise. It's like, when you get the car and you get a little tired of it, and then you realize all of a sudden, like you read the book, and it's a, you go, oh my God, if I press this button.
Oh, it's got a feature you haven't discovered yet. Yeah. Find new.
I've done that.
Right. That's now, very cool.
Now, what guy, listen, so you passed the rush of the new car.
Mm-hmm. I had an option. You know, I can tell you what it was.
What was it?
It was heated seats.
Bingo.
And all of a sudden, I hit a button by accident, and my ass felt warm, and it happened to be cold weather, and I was like,
nice.
Whoa. And no, that was really what happened. And then I look, and it's got the little squiggly lines coming out of the button for the seat, and it was very cool.
No, so I said to her, what do you want to do this weekend? You know, and I'm wide open for anything. I'm in the best of moods. The weather's great.
I was in my Ford Fiesta. Yes, Rob. How does he remember? How, in the name of God, does he remember
I don't know, but he
the
knows.
Very first car that I ever owned?
Great car.
The Ford Fiesta.
Great producer.
The eighth wonder of the world!
So listening to you talk would indicate to me that she's come up with something very different. Something
new.
This
was just, and she was just being herself.
Okay.
Said, what do you want to do this weekend? She said, well, how about, if you wouldn't mind, since you have the satellite dish, we watch the Steelers game. Like, what time is the Steelers game on? 4:00 on Saturday. Uh-huh. Said, oh, okay.
She wanted to watch the Steelers?
She wanted to watch the Steelers.
Is there any particular reason why she wanted to watch the, is she a Steelers fan?
No, she's a lifelong Steelers fan.
Oh, okay.
Lifelong Steelers fan.
They're all over the place.
So anyway, I'm thinking, oh, how can this get better? Then we went to see the Ricky Bobby movie.
Right.
Which,
you and the rest of the country.
Yeah, which I'll tell you about in a second. And got home, and then on Sunday morning, I said, look what TiVo picked up for me. I said, I guess I won't be seeing you for a while because I have the Packers preseason game against San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to fast forward through the commercials and watch the game.
Right.
God damn it, she's not sitting there right there next to me.
She enjoys
and
football.
And she's not faking it?
And that's the surprise.
I don't believe so. That is the option that I had not planned
on. Didn't know you had
in the world. I knew she liked football. I knew she was a Steelers fan. I mean, that's when I first started getting involved with her. It was around the Super Bowl when I found out she was a Steelers fan.
Right.
But I had no idea who it was. Sunday morning, for God's sakes. Sunday morning with things to do, places to go.
Yeah. Right.
A beautiful day, not to be wasted. And there it was, 10 a.m. The two of us sitting in my cave.
Watching a football game.
Watching a tape of a football game.
Wow.
Pretty amazing. Watching a tape of a meaningless football game.
And she's a big fan.
She is.
I mean, you can tell if she knows the game. Does she know the game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's it right there.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, there are some things, you know, where she says sometimes like, well, you know, why don't they have four tight ends out there? You only have two at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, you get these questions. Well, is it a rule? I don't know if it's a rule or not. Can we just watch? Well, how many tight ends could you have? I guess you could line up 11 if you wanted.
Cool.
You know, she said, oh, well, how come no one's done that? What? I don't know. Can we just please watch the game?
Good questions to me.
I was trying to explain the Manny Ramirez 26-game hitting streak to Carla, and he hit a fly ball to the right fielder, and she kind of like, okay, well, that's good, right? I said, no, he has to get hit. He has to get another hit during the game. She said, well, he hit the ball.
Yeah, no.
So we're still...
And did Carla get hit?
No, she didn't get hit. She did not get hit. No, it shows me that there's more training to be done.
No, and it's quite...
But it's a good... What I'm trying to say is it's a very good thing to have... Maybe I'm not trying to say that. It's a good thing to have, like, your woman with you when you're watching sports that you love. It's kind of cool.
Well, we had the discussion about that as well, like with opening day weekend. I mean, we were talking about, I know it's a month away, but we were talking about opening day weekend. But keep in mind, she is a big football fan, even though she was like sitting there and going, where's Big Ben? When's Big Ben going to come on TV? Look at Big Ben. Oh, he looks good. Look at Big Ben. Look at Big Ben's face. What's wrong with Big Ben? What's wrong with Big Ben? Look at Big Ben. Where's Big Ben? Well, how come Big Ben's not his
food? Is Big Ben still, like, drinking his food out of with a straw?
Big Ben looked okay to me.
Huh. Looked like his jaw was moving?
Looked fine to me. I guess the only thing he's got, like, is some Herman Munster scar up the side of his head that...
Was he wearing his leathers? Was he over on the side with a big motorcycle helmet on?
No, as a matter of fact, he's really saying F you to the NFL. He's playing without a helmet. Saturday night, he's playing the game without the helmet.
Might as well.
So we're watching the games, and we were discussing, I don't know, something like about you know, because I have tickets for the Redskins and what games we were going to go to and what games she could go to with her work schedule. And she said, well, opening weekend, the Redskins play on Monday night, right? And I said, yeah. And she said, so, like, that Sunday. She said, but how about I, like, come over and I'll make some chili or some wings? And I said, whoa. First off, you're talking a month away. That's not how I live my life now, baby.
You are a...
you understand?
You're a daredevil now.
I'm a single successful guy. I mean...
Eat big, hairy.
Yeah.
that's for Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
And they say it a lot, Damone. And they say it a lot.
Came over to help you with your math homework.
I'll have the Coke with no ice.
The lady will have the linguine with white clam sauce and a Coke with no ice.
Isn't this great?
Wherever you are, is the rent. Wherever you are, that's the place to be.
So she says, he says, we're just talking. You know, I'll come over and bring wings or something. And I said, whoa. I said, opening day. And I realized just really how faggoty I am about football.
He's a fag.
I said to her, seriously. We were sitting outside just having a nice day. And I said, sweetie, that's a sacred day. I said, really? I said,
you didn't say those words, did you? But he did. A sacred day?
I swear on my children's lives I did.
That is gay.
I said, what did I tell you?
He's a fag.
That is a sacred day.
I said, that's a sacred day. I said, that's an important day. I said, I get very into it. I said, it starts, you know, before the Fox show even comes on.
What time? You start like at, what, 8 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning?
On opening day?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, really. Yes. I'll wake up at 5 a.m.
Right.
I'll wake up at 5. Uh-huh. I'll, you know, put on all my faggot jerseys. Watch
a layered look, like 10 different jerseys.
Watch all the stupid pregame shows.
Right.
And then once the games come on, plus with the fantasy stuff going on, I said, I'm not an enjoyable person, I don't think, to be with on opening day because I flip around a lot and I generally, and again, a wonderful new feature of the car. She said, that's fine. That's fine. You want to watch opening day by yourself? I understand. And I keep thinking, okay, where's the trick here? Where's the trick? No trick. And still even more good stuff. Now,
so you want to be left alone on opening day?
I believe so.
Just on that particular day, you want to do your own thing.
It's well, that is kind of my routine.
Okay.
I know a lot of guys like to get together with their friends and everything. What I like to do is just barricade myself in one room with a bathroom nearby and just literally shut myself off.
Immerse yourself in football.
From the entire world from 12 noon until the last game is over at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's when you just wrap yourself in it. You just
roll in it.
It's all day. It's your watch. I mean, you know.
You just sit there, look in the mirror, you got bags under your eyes.
You know, you're watching, you know, Houston play Tennessee, which is just like, you might as well watch paint dry, but you're sitting there going, yeah.
Soaking in it.
Come on back. Love it. Bring it on. So she is really a diamond in the rough. I mean, Saturday night, we went to bed a little late, went to this Ricky Bobby movie, and she said, did you take your pill? My sleepy pill.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yes. And she said, well, if the dog barks, I guess I'll go down and let him outside. And I said, yeah, okay. Thinking, you know, well, it's my dog. She doesn't really mean it. About 20 minutes later, that little pill went to work, that Lunesta thing, and I was just about gone, and right on cue, I hear from downstairs, you know, and, boy, I'm telling you, there she was. Oh, downstairs, I hear the door open up. All I know is, oh, I go back to sleep. I wake up on Sunday morning. She's downstairs, like Cinderella, on her hands and knees, cleaning up dog pee.
Wow.
Really?
That's wow. And that's your dog's pee.
Yeah. Yes, right. No.
That's cool.
No, it was mine. I was sleepwalking.
Inspector.
Right.
I came downstairs and I said...
So that's the first thing you're greeted with?
Yeah.
Is there any greater feeling in the world?
I came down and I said...
Wow. A woman doing manual labor. I mean, real, like, hands and knees manual labor.
I said, what are you doing? And she said, well, you can't just leave this here. And no. I said... You know what you do? You get some Bounty and you just let it sop up for a while. The cleaning ladies will be here Tuesday. I said, I'm not as crazy as Frida was about the dogs. You know, the dogs are going to go to the bathroom. She's like, no, you got to do this right away. Yeah. You got to do this right away. First thing, you know,
And there she was on her hands and knees.
And then we watched the Packers.
Wow. At 10 o'clock in the morning.
At 10 o'clock in the morning.
Very nice. That's a dream weekend.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, it got to be like noon. She said, well, how about a drink?
Day drinking?
It just gets better and
day
better.
Day drinking is great.
It was Sunday.
That's cool.
I said, who's pouring? She said, I am. I said, all right, I will. Yeah. See you at the C-Man Pond.
Very, very cool.
See you out there. So a very good weekend. And listen to this Ricky Bobby movie. I went in with very low expectations because I was ready to be burned out on Will Ferrell. I'm going to tell you without giving the movie away. Well, my who's to say I'm giving it away?
Don't spoil it.
There are things that you don't know about that movie that I know, for instance, you, Mike, that I know you would absolutely die at.
Really?
Yeah, it's got him running around, you know, in his underwear.
When he's on fire.
Okay.
That's the one everybody sees because they use that in the trailer.
You've seen that.
Right.
But the movie is immersed in gay humor.
Okay.
The movie has so much man-on-man kissing, which you've not seen. I'm talking about...
Man-on-man kissing can be funny.
I'm talking about Will Ferrell and the French guy that drives the Perrier car. I'm also talking about... you. And I know you've not heard this because I had not heard about this. We've not heard this on the show. The guy who's his big competition, the guy that drives the Perrier car,
yeah,
he's a gay guy,
right?
And his husband is played by Andy Richter. And Andy Richter has kind of an Amish beard,
sure.
And there's more than one scene of Andy Richter kissing the guy.
Right.
And I mean,
we all know Andy Richter would sacrifice himself for the good of the comedy.
And the kisses that you get, the homosexual kisses, are not brief cutaways, and you can also tell that they're not like where one guy's got his face buried in the other guy's shoulder.
Oh,
like,
gross.
I mean, listen.
This is look real.
I've got to tell you, out of all the dumb Will Ferrell movies...
I've got to ask you one question that'll make me figure it out. How does it stack up to Anchorman?
It's funnier than Anchorman.
All right, great. Say no more.
Big picture, I think it's funnier than Anchorman. Mm-hmm. I think, but you're going to have to watch it a couple
of... I love that guy, John C. Reilly. I think he's fantastic.
You're going to have to watch it a couple of times to get all the nuances.
Of course.
Like his kids and the things that his kids say to his to his parents. And,
okay.
I mean, it's... I was surprised. And then they had an ad for his new movie, which looked even funnier. And I've heard nothing about this movie. It's where there's a woman who's writing a book. And she writes, let's use the name Buzz Burbank.
Right.
Her name of her book is, you know, I'm Going to Kill Buzz Burbank.
Right.
And she writes, Buzz leads a very lonely life. And as she's writing about this character that's played by Will Ferrell, at one point, he's walking down the hallway and you're still hearing her narration, right? Where she's saying, he's having a bad day today. And he says, stop! I can hear you.
It
looked like a very funny concept and not as usual dumb, stupid movies, which I really like. And he ends up finding this woman. He says, you know, hey, I'm Ricky Bobby or whatever the name is. You're writing about me. Stop writing because you're writing that I'm going to die.
How many snaps do you give Talladega Nights?
Oh, I give it 3.
Really? 3 on a scale of 5?
I give it 3. I give...
Or 3 on a scale of 4.
I give it 3 out of 4.
3 out of 4.
Three
That's
out
wrong.
Of 4. Which I guess would be a, you know what? About the same as I gave Anchorman.
Okay, so I mean,
about
it's
the same.
Like the, it's like those comics.
But
you you get your moments in it.
I went in thinking that it was going to be him just running around naked, and I would laugh a little bit just because, what the hell? We snuck alcohol into the theater,
right?
You know? But no, it was actually fun.
And it kind of pokes fun at NASCAR. Does it do that a little bit?
Oh, yes.
Good. Good.
Oh, yes, right. It do.
I mean, I've heard a lot about this movie, but I guess everybody has to be their own judge. But I like to hear that it's funnier than Anchorman.
Yeah,
I might check it out.
One of his sponsors is a tampon company.
On his car?
The official tampon of NASCAR. Listen, I also complain a lot about people in a movie theater.
Yes.
And walking into the theater on Saturday night for an 8 o'clock show of the Idiot's Delight, Ricky Bobby... Really, you could have said you're going to walk into a room with a bunch of people who are about to be transferred to a mental ward, right? Because, and we got there like at 10 till 8, and it was...
The LCD theater? Welcome to the lowest common denominator theater.
And it was talk out loud time.
Right.
And I mean, it was...
I bet there was serious munching going on.
Oh, yeah.
Was it feed bag? Were there lots of feed bags in there?
Yes, and kids with parents and the parents that would just say to the kids, like they were in amusement parks, you know, okay, go ahead. Mommy and Daddy will be here.
Right.
See you later. And
well, it's that kind of movie, too. It's not like a movie where you got to be respectful.
However, the most amazing thing happened because Janet was working up this whole thing, saying to me, we should move our seats. I'm telling you now, we should move. So one time we moved before the movie started. And as soon as we moved, a family sat behind us. And like, we were three rows from the front already. I said, you know, we can't get around this. I said, it's Will Ferrell. If it sucks, we'll leave. Right. And they're talking the whole time.
Were they the family cellophane?
I mean, yes, it was that. But I mean, it was the entire theater.
Right.
Really,
everybody was there.
Everybody thought that they were home watching TV.
Right.
During the ads,
get this open.
During the ads, people are screaming out, you know, what's going to happen next. You're like,
That looks cool. I want to see that.
Uh-huh. And you get this a lot after a trailer.
So what do you think? You think that was any good? Well, I know. That was kind of funny. I thought it was kind of funny. Thought about it really sucked. You know what I really wanted to see?
I mean, it's going all around us.
Yeah.
And the boat just kind of sat there waiting to just flip out at somebody.
But
when the movie started,
Ricky Bobby's on.
You could hear
Ricky Bobby's on.
Pin drop.
Ricky Bobby's on.
My only problem was
Ricky Bobby's on.
People were laughing so much that I'm sure you missed some of that.
That's not a bad complaint.
Some of the not so subtle.
That's
jokes.
Pretty right, good if right. You're saying people are like guffawing.
Right.
That's a good thing.
Right. And
if you do the whole Dumb and Dumber thing where you go in with diminished expectations. Will you have a better time if you go in not expecting a lot?
Yeah, and you
just expect. I mean, really, you go to see a movie like that. I'm a big believer. When you go to a comedy, you should be prepared. Like you want to, you're there because you want to laugh, right? So if you psych yourself up a little bit, you're going to enjoy it more.
And
right?
You know,
if you're a better audience.
Outstanding in this movie, besides that guy John Reilly, is that actor Gary Cole. He was the dad in the Brady Bunch movie.
Okay,
He's been like in a thousand things.
To be an evil character.
He's Will Ferrell's dad, and. Goddamn, if he maybe doesn't steal the movie.
Really?
Wow.
Okay.
Good.
Now you got me motivated.
He's funny. It was good.
If it's not all Will Ferrell running around in his underwear, I'd be very, very happy.
No, it wasn't.
That's good.
It really, I mean, it's stupid.
Of course.
I mean, it's
stupid. You have to believe
it's
that
it's gotta be stupid.
How could it be anything but stupid?
Right. You gotta believe that a car is going to spin around 25 times and then the two drivers are going to get out and actually run to the finish line. But if you're willing to suspend that much disbelief,
what is the comedy? I mean, I was watching Pee-wee's Big Adventure over the weekend. I mean, he's in there dancing tequila on the bar in the biker bar. I mean, my God, if that's not suspend disbelief, I found another continuity error in a Pee-wee Herman movie.
No.
You know, it's full of them. You know, if you look at Pee, you found the one, I think, way back when where the chain was coming
out of the bike
and you
store.
See it underneath.
But he's in front of the bike store.
You know,
right?
when he tips over the motorcycles?
Yes.
One of them, you know how they always use, like, beaters and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't even bother to have a gas cap top on one of these motorcycles, so you can actually see that. And I saw that on a small screen, too, which really just advertised the fact that this was a surplus, you know, non-usable motorcycle that he tipped over. When he tips over the row of motorcycles outside of the biker bar.
But hold on.
Yes.
That might be because you have a motorcycle.
I wouldn't have noticed that if I didn't have a motorcycle.
Right. So not really.
Anybody that has.
Not really a gaff, though.
Not a real gaff, but certainly an oversight.
I just like that word, G-A-F-F-D.
Mm-hmm. Certainly enough
nice
of an oversight.
Gaff.
You know, what the hell? You know, they let it just like the chain, whatever, but still a funny movie. Funny movies can be stupid.
Right.
You're right.
It's perfectly acceptable. You have to not care.
I got something else that was funny from this weekend, too, on TV.
Television?
That I wanted to play for you.
Television.
Because TV is funny. Jim Nance is always funny.
Yes, always.
Hello, friends. Jim Nance. We're at the 18th Tower. Welcome.
Now, this is our friend Nancy. She's fantastic.
She's great.
Doing something at some golf tournament that was on CBS this weekend.
The International.
Yeah, it's the International.
And it's Nance just being... So, Nancy, we have a lot of tape to play for you today on the show. Mike, I do want to talk, in the next break, we'll talk about, what do I have for Mike? Mike ate bad, and Mike went to Gettysburg this weekend.
Somebody told me that there was some sort of battle up there at one point.
We have a
skirmish.
We have tapes today.
Not sure what they were talking about.
You and Carla, you mean?
No, this was some big thing.
We have Dr. Phil tapes.
We have Jim Nance tapes. We have the Leah Remini tapes. We also have from Dateline NBC on Friday night, a guy, these tapes are really pretty good, a guy with Tourette's, who was cured of Tourette's.
Yeah.
And then when he's cured of Tourette's, his wife left him.
Wow. Wow.
Because like for years she would sit there and
super
listen
bitch, super bitch, super bitch.
Right. And then when he said, you know, hey, you're a charming woman, she said, hey, guy.
Wow. So after his ailment, so she stays with him while he's an embarrassment in the Denny's, but then she gets cured and she's gone.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike, Radio God.
Yeah, howdy.
How did you like the movie?
Oh, it was awesome. But I want to know, are you El Diablo or are you the Magic Man?
Thank you.
Thank you, Rob.
How did you know? I didn't know it was an unscreened
Don and Mike. I just
had to be.
This had to be. Yes, go ahead. He's excited about it.
I just asked you if you are the Magic Man or you El Diablo, the spicy chicken.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you.
I just knew it. I knew from the tone of his voice that he
I want to say something. I did get not a boo, but you know when something, when an ad plays and it gets that murmur in the crowd, is like when people go like,
disapproval? Yeah, and it has to be pretty significant to get a movie audience reaction.
Yeah. All right, so it starts off with a tight shot of Jack Black. And immediately everybody jumps up like, oh, okay,
it's Jack Black.
Pretty good. And it looks like he's doing something like School of Rock. Well, it turns out it's the movie about his band Tenacious D. And, whew, boy, at least the trailer.
Really?
Just friggin' blows. It's Jack Black with maybe the guy, I don't know the guy who's in Tenacious D with
him. The fat, bald white guy. Yeah,
it's the real guy. And it's them like going, you know, do you want to rock? We got to get up and rock!
He's going to the well one too many times.
And, you know, you could just hear the audience right there turning on him like, oh, yeah. Oh, what happened to that guy?
Playing that one note too many times.
Come on now, this.
What happened to him?
No, and he had that wrestling movie where he took his shirt off and
right.
Everything.
Nacho yes.
Libre.
Nacho Libre. Mm-hmm.
Did that do well overall?
No.
That was a stinker, right?
I think it was from the same director as Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, really? Okay.
So that bobblehead is going to be so, so very valuable.
The Jack Black bobblehead?
Right, that Nacho Libre bobblehead.
Almost as big as Big Red, the Red Roof bobblehead. I'm Red, the Red Roof bobblehead.
I'm going to really make you think I'm an idiot now.
Right.
Hey, Rob?
Yes?
How are we doing on the progress on my eBay item for my... Yes. Vince Lombardi bobblehead.
I will not think you're an idiot for that. No, that is a quality. Cool. That is a quality novelty item.
Do you mean the one that comes new in box?
Yeah.
There you go, Vince Lombardi's bobblehead doll, baby.
It has been shipped by Fossil Ground. It should be here this week.
Very good, Lombardi, and the bobblehead is up for the task at hand.
And it has a nice gap in its feet.
Yeah, it's just like Lombardi with the hat and the jacket.
Lombardi.
Lombardi.
Whoa.
Hello, are you there, Don and Mike show? Can we talk to you? Are you the Ricky Bobby guy, or is this another guy?
Whoever it is, they couldn't hang in there.
All right, well, just ahead of a break, here's some of the many tapes that we'll get to today. This is our friend Jim Nance, and he's just... There's nothing really that jumps out. He's just being Jim Nance.
Jim Nance, he's at his flowery best when he does golf coverage.
He's introducing...
I love him doing golf.
He's coverage. Introducing whatever match it was on Saturday.
And welcome, friends, and our thanks to the brilliant coach of the Denver Broncos, Mike Shanahan, for setting the stage here at Castle Pines Golf Club in Castle Rock. Coach Shanahan, by the way, is a member here at this prestigious club and carries a single-digit handicap. Knows all about how to try to maneuver your way through these green lush fairways at Castle Pines as we now celebrate the 20-year anniversary of this great tournament. It began back in 1986. Ken Green won that first gathering. And again this week, many of the world's best players made their way to the Denver area to come back, not only to compete in this tournament, but to say hello to their friend Jack Vickers. Tom Pernice won this tournament 5 years ago.
My friends.
He is the leader through 2 days of this unique scoring system. We now call it the International Scoring System.
Friends.
A modified version of the Stableford. 70 players on the number made the cut
this morning, once second round play was complete, 36 will take it to the final day.
Come on, Jimmy.
This Sunday, 8 points for that rare double eagle.
Right,
Eagles
Jimmy.
Are worth five. You will see some of those, especially at 17.
What he's doing is he's explaining that this is the one tournament of the year that they score it differently than any other tournament.
Only one. They try.
And in my humble opinion, completely unnecessary.
And Tom
I
Pernice
hate it.
Is better than all. Well, Mike, two rounds. He again was
I'm
one
glad
of those
you brought
players
that up.
Who had the complete round two this morning. He made two birdies over the course of eight holes this morning.
Finish
up and take the lead by one over Jeff Goh.
This is when you're going. Show me
now,
somebody
now.
Playing golf, Jim.
Here's why I pulled that tape.
Yep.
Not only does he go like a minute 42, that's a run-on sentence.
Explaining the Stapleford system, Don,
there's
the
not a
system of scoring where higher point values are given for lower numbers.
Right. Now,
gambling.
As you know, I just recently started golfing.
Oh, it's easy to explain. It's just that it's just complicated to look at the score
why
and see like a guy with a plus 30,
what,
you know.
Instead of Nance coming in and going, hey, friends, hi, Jim Nance, and like playing Harlequin romance novel music in the background.
Right.
Why doesn't he just come out like a man and give me some man-sized logos and some man-sized stuff on the screen saying, okay, this is not like regular golf. You get this many shots.
No, you don't. It's not like you get shot. You get points for scoring. You get points for scoring.
So every time you get like the hole in the ball.
Every time.
The ball in the hole.
You know how it's a big deal when you par a hole, right?
Yes.
So you'd get a certain amount of points for a par. And then if you went under par, you get more par, more points. If you go eagle, you get more. It's what it is you know, for people
why?
That don't know golf,
uh-huh.
And even
that
for people,
be, that's why I brought it in. I want to lose.
But even for people that know golf, golf is set up for par under par.
Right.
It's not set up to do that. And why?
Everybody
I don't know
that.
Why or where that came along. It might have been like an international way of scoring backwards
that's
day.
That's
why it's called the international.
They
no, we don't
do
have
it because they want the players to play guts.
That's it.
Wonder of the world.
They wanted to go for the birdies, go for the eagles and stuff like that. And it's just, I don't know, blah, blah.
Later, we don't have time. I guess he's either in love with Phil Mickelson.
Oh, he loves Phil.
I'm sure.
Or is
he
it,
loves Phil. He's another, Phil's another, you know,
Davis,
soft white guy.
Is it Davis Love the Third?
Davis Love the Third.
But he likes Tom Lehman, too.
Oh, yeah.
He's a Lehman lover.
Well,
and Tom Lehman almost won the tournament. So.
We've got five tapes later. We're going to play you some tapes of Jim Nance talking about Phil Mickelson. And the game will be, gosh, it would be best
did
if someone...
Did they give Mickelson, I mean, I'm sorry, did he give Jim Nance the day off then on Sunday at the end of the tournament? Because I didn't hear Jim Nance on Sunday. Was he doing football on Sunday?
No, I don't think so.
He was there on Sunday? Because I thought it was just Gary McCord and David Faraday.
Because the tapes that we have, you know, it'd be a good game to play now that I'm thinking about it. Like you call somebody and said, how advanced do you think this relationship is between two gay men? Because the tapes are... Hold on a second.
Here he comes. Struggled against adversity.
Yeah, it's like he even comments on...
lush green fairways here at Castle Pines.
Looking smart after that weight loss, the long, flowing hair. Hold on.
He's a poet. He really is.
I
got to hear this thing because I didn't watch any of this tournament this weekend.
You going to try to do that with me?
Except the very end.
Because I'll get all over you.
Hold on.
You see Dr. Phil McGraw making his way down the lush fairways here at Castle Pines, guys.
Mike, I'm sorry.
Mind your own effing business. Leave me the F alone. I hate you. F you. Shut the F up.
Okay, I got it.
Now, that's the kind of language that we don't allow here at Castle Pines.
I pulled up the wrong page. Hold on a second.
You can suck this.
we got a bunch of new Dr. Phil tapes as
Dr.
well.
Phil.
You like attention, don't you?
Dr. Phil Mickelson.
I
know, come on. Slut, skank, whore.
Now hold on there, guys. That's way out of line.
Where's the Jim Nance stuff? When are you coming over so I can F you?
No. Now, see, that's we don't want that. This is a prestigious golf club. We don't need that kind of talk.
Give me a moment to find those tapes.
Right.
A little disorganized I am, yo to speak.
Disorganized, I am.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
How's it going on, guys? Did any of you guys watch the Skins-Bengals game last night?
Sure, on Sunday Night Football, yes. Hey, your mighty Redskins looking mighty good last night.
Oh, yeah, they really, I want to shoot myself in the head after that one. But did anybody see how Madden, during the fourth quarter, literally looked like he was in a coma?
Hey, you know what? Can I ask a question about that game? Because everybody's talking about it today. Like, really, it was a Super Bowl game?
Right.
Everybody's, you know, really so down on the Redskins. And I have to ask you, because I don't follow it closely enough. Is it like baseball? I mean, is it, are these games significant in any way, real
no.
way? They don't
no.
matter anyway.
No. I mean, if I was...
listen today, it's like, oh, they're done. They're done. You know, Clinton Portis, minor shoulder separation. Oh, he's done. Oh, forget it. The game. The season's over.
I'm one of those guys that thinks they should just play like 20 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have two exhibition games, mm-hmm. and then just start playing. If you're going to
start playing earlier,
yeah. If you have guys that are going to get hurt, let them get hurt if it matters.
Yeah, and literally in the NFL, it doesn't matter. You know what type of game it is. It's not like guys are going to go half speed out there in an exhibition game, or as they say, a preseason game.
Preseason, Mike.
Yes, not exhibition.
Preseason, but you know, like, as I was telling Rob there, you know, it was a slow moment during the game last night. You know, it was a boring-ass game of the Redskins losing. When during the shot, you know, the obligatory shot when they're saying the game is brought to you by
right.
whatever, and when the slides are coming up on the screen, you're seeing either a background picture of the city
right.
or you're seeing them make food in the stadium.
You see right. the picture of the Jefferson Memorial.
Yeah,
how many times do they show that?
And right. in Philly, you always get the guy at Ed's or whatever just making the cheesesteak.
Or the Liberty Bell.
Right. And in Seattle, it's always a guy at a fish market.
Right, right.
And in San Francisco, it's always a concession area. And Al Michaels says, so, John, what are we looking at here?
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Now, see, I give Al Michaels credit yeah. on that one because I'm laughing yeah. as soon as they
and
start
Madden
with that.
And Madden starts right away with the,
well, you got the your regular chili dogs.
He goes through the whole thing. It's spaghetti with chili on top of it.
Chili Mac.
They serve it here yeah. in Cincinnati, and they serve it in uh-huh. Green Bay. And he says, well, what about the bratwurst up in Green Bay? And he says, well, yeah, no, if we're in Green Bay, I have bratwurst on the second day. You don't miss your bratwurst. Meanwhile, while this is going on, the game's playing.
Yeah, they're playing.
The game's going on, and they keep going back to this shot.
Did he use the telestrator at all?
No. He showed some restraint.
Oh, man, I wish he'd use the telestrator to circle the hot dog. Yeah,
yeah, the last scene was the guy had four hot dogs. The guy in the concession stand had four hot dogs that were all made, and he was just pouring some chili on top of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Madden said, like he was describing a guy doing a heart transplant. He said, all right, now watch this. Now this is where he's going to pour the chili on chili dogs. This is how they become chili dogs.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they come back and they go.
That's funny.
Yeah, and it's 3rd and 11.
And it's now August.
And now let's go to big tooth turkey neck Chris Collinsworth.
He wasn't wearing a turtleneck, right? Too warm.
No. God. Thank God they have Bob Costas on that show. Yeah. Otherwise, that halftime show would have been a wreck. I mean, you need a guy like Bob Costas to just move, get it going.
I guess the chili dog was a real go-to since they didn't have a pigeon running on the field or anything like that.
Or what a lot of people think is, I'm sure you remember this too, the great John Madden moment when they saw a guy, two things with candy bars. First, during one game, Madden went out of his mind with Summerall as they followed a rapper down the field. And there was some guy, I think...
John Madden's the only guy that does that.
And there was great. Some guy, I think, for the Cowboys that kept, like, a Snickers bar in his shoe, the kicker, and they sent a camera over there during the game. You know, while the game is on. You're looking at the cameras, looking at the guy's
food.
Shoe.
He's into food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's a big man. Hope we get him on the show again this year. I love that guy.
I do believe that will happen. We got a break here on Uno Momento. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
You know, I saw the most milk toast Jim Nance thing I've ever seen. Watching the CBS fantasy football show, which was a great piece of work, and they ask him, who would you take first? And this, I swear to God, Jim Nance's answer. Well, if I wasn't picking first, I would take whoever was left over because I'd be happy with that. I wouldn't need to take anyone in particular because as long as I'm picking in the first round, I'd be happy with that pick.
What a pussy.
Oh, God. Shut up.
I'd pick Phil Mickelson.
Is there anything more...
He's not an NFL player. I'd pick Phil.
Is there anything more trash-talking than fantasy football? I mean, it's where, you know, men that can't play the game act like trash-talking bad sports.
Uh-huh.
That's what it is. That's what makes it fun. I'd be happy to be on the first round, guys.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. I just wanted to bring up Ricky Bobby one more time.
Yeah.
Well, I think the two boys that were in the movie, Walker and Texas Ranger, I think they absolutely stole that movie.
That's his kids' names.
Those were two of the funniest.
His kids' names. And if they were girls.
Rob just gave a look. Is that your.
Hold on.
That was a little bit of your wheelchair.
Hold on. If they were girls, they would have been named Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman.
Oh, my.
Now, you know what? It's a throwaway line.
Yeah,
it's a throwaway line in their kitchen.
Walker, Texas Ranger.
Well, TR for short.
TR?
Mike, you had to be there.
I might go see it. I seriously might go see it.
You had to be there. do what we did. Sneak alcohol in.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Sure, that helps.
What was your method?
It's called a purse, Rob.
Body cavity,
excuse
Rob.
Me.
Body
it's,
cavity.
Excuse me, in my case, it's called a man bag. A man bag.
You brought it. You brought your valise into the
theater. No, we just brought an airline bottle.
You can still take liquids into theater.
We just brought an airline bottle.
They'll be taking that away.
That's another thing. I wake up today and it's like, I'm calling up the travel lady. I told you I don't think I'm going to fly to Orlando next month with my grandkids, right, and my daughter and her. And I'm going to just drive. She says to me today when I'm, so I'm thinking back, just driving, seeing Bart down in college on the way and flying such a hassle. She says, oh, did you know they changed the rules today?
Again, yes.
Changed them today. She said, yeah, now you can bring,
medicine.
Lipstick.
Right.
I said, well, I generally don't, bring my lipstick.
Is it glucose gel if you're diabetic?
Right, right.
Like that,
yeah, right?
A few liquids, a few limited liquids.
And now everybody has to take, and this you should really be aware of,
everybody, no matter what the circumstances, you have to take your shoes off.
Right.
And you're not going to be happy about that because I know with the whole foot thing.
I've adjusted to that, Mike.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, oftentimes I don't even wait for him to ask.
And you know, really,
go ahead.
Good for you. I agree with this.
Look at my feet.
This will actually improve the speed because everybody has to do it,
and you won't
have the the idiots that don't realize that they should take their shoes off and set off the alarm.
It was always like what I wanted to say, although you get in trouble if you say it. I've always wanted to say it. Hey, the only bog you're going to find in there is if you look under my left third toe from the left on my right foot.
Dennis was like, that was very funny, Cervic. Will you come with us, please?
Yes. Now, welcome to Midnight Express.
Slipping into the very, very funny.
Next thing you know, Mike is pushing his breast against the window.
Billy, please.
Billy.
Midnight Express, baby.
Thank God. Thank God football's back.
Yeah.
John, I tell you what, we're going to go to break now. Yanni?
Yes?
Why don't you just, Mike, do you trust him enough to just draw names, or should we do it on the air?
I want to do it on the air.
Okay. Will you get that ready?
That's not that I don't trust him.
Yeah.
That's
for the drama. I'm surprised about that, Ed.
I totally trust him.
All right, get the numbers ready for our fantasy draft.
Look at the look. Look at that just deadpan stare right there.
What, Yanni?
I can see his evilness through two windows.
What, Yanni?
I didn't say a thing.
The evil commissioner. The evil, like, looking forward to another Super Bowl win commissioner.
Perfect commissioner.
Skippy.
I'm getting it this year. This year it's mine.
Crooked commissioner.
This is going to be my best year ever. This is going to be my biggest, most significant fantasy year ever. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm going to go back to what I used to do.
What's
I'm
next?
Not caring anymore.
Right. That was your plot last year.
Was it?
Yes. Yeah.
This year I'm going to care more than I've ever cared before.
That was your plot 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Week 7. That's my prediction when you give up. When you just say,
that
forget
long.
It. Yeah.
Okay, fat ass, and then we'll see what happens. We're going to have a lot of fun this year. I want to win, win, win. I'm going to fight, fight, fight.
Draft Clinton Portis.
yeah, because I always draft injured guys. F you.
F you. Clinton Portis.
Clinton Portis.
No, you didn't, Clinton Portis.
Separated shoulder.
We'll have our draft down at Eastern Motors.
Your job, your credit.
Oh, great new commercial, too.
Oh, yeah.
It's got LeVar, it's got Clinton Portis, it's got Sean Taylor, and they're all in there.
Maybe Carmelo Anthony as well.
I think that's who it is. And they're going to teach the sales staff, like in a real violent way, how to sell the cars.
And when I see those commercials, I think they must spend in the four figures.
Uh-huh.
They should
produce and money
and up to an hour. Those gems,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Absolutely, they're fabulous local commercials that feature many of our hometown Washington Redskins, our most beloved football players, pretending that they're finance officers.
I know, and now
at a car place.
Yeah, and not that they're related, really. You know, brothers on commercials. I don't want to make that stereotype. But speaking of Senate Insurance, he's using our friend Howard G is using a puppet now.
All right. That's fantastic.
In the latest
Senate commercials?
Senate insurance commercial. He's using a puppet.
Like
and he's not, and he's pretending he's a ventriloquist because at one point he's drinking water when the puppet is talking.
Ah,
so it's a ruse. I watched a lot of Comcast this weekend. the Orioles were playing the Red Sox, so it was a lot of local cable stuff.
I said a lot of nice stuff about my girlfriend, right?
Yes, you did. You said a lot of nice stuff.
We can end on this note, though.
That's a hell of a setup right there.
Oh, no. This is when you were talking about commercials.
Mm-hmm.
This would be one of the things, and she knows this. It's not a pet peeve. It's just she really likes commercials, and if there's a commercial that she likes and she's seen it 1,000 goddamn times,
uh-huh.
and she knows how it's going to end, she still likes watching it like it's a little show.
Right.
And says to me, don't change the channel.
Right.
And the one that I refuse is the Slowskis, the Turtles.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
For Geico, right?
No, they're for Verizon.
Okay.
For, it's Turtles saying, you know, hi, we like slow dial-up. We don't like DSL.
Incidentally, all television commercials are either Verizon,
and,
Geico, or Visa.
And I mentioned to her like a month or so ago, I said, you know, listen, this is an important time in our relationship. We are learning each other's nuances. And
right.
You don't want... I mean, it's okay that you like commercials, but you don't want to let me know that you like the Slowskis. I said, besides, the Slowskis are not even a winning advertising campaign. Well, yesterday, guess who's bad?
Uh-huh.
When we were watching football last night,
yeah.
She says, ha-ha, look at that.
The Slowskis.
Next thing I know, she goes upstairs on the computer. They've got a website.
Of course, yeah.
Of course they've got a website for the Slowskis.
The Turtles.
The goddamn Slowskis.
Ha!
Stupid commercial. Stupid commercial. She sits there like she is watching the Three Stooges. Watching this thing. I mean, just jaw open, like falling down like Lucy trying to work in the candy factory.
I have a TARD commercial that I do that with. The pillaging guys. You know, the guys that pill, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Is that Visa, maybe?
Capital One money.
Capital One.
Oh, okay.
What's in your wallet?
Yeah. Have you seen the new one with Peyton Manning?
No.
With the mustache?
Where he's got a wig and a mustache on that make him look like Rupert Pupkin.
Really?
Yeah. Speaking of Rupert Pupkin, as we often do.
Well, it's fall. They produce a lot of these commercials.
And, you know, he's just, you know. He was very nice to me a year ago, and is still kind of a hero to me, so I don't want to totally dog him.
He didn't.
He's
make
just,
he looks stupid!
Well, Mike, he's not the best reader in the world.
Yes. That's part of his charm.
Yeah.
He can read a defense.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, he's wonderful in some of these advertisements,
guys. He's wearing his jersey, and he says, you know now with this phone that you can get fantasy football on your favorite players, like, let's say, for instance, Peyton Manning.
So he's in disguise? Is that
yes,
what it is?
He's in.
Clever ad.
Bad. Bad. It's a good thing that boy can throw a football. He can throw a football a country mile.
Excellent.
Throw it over the mountains.
Eat a chocolate pie a mile wide.
That's good. You know what else is good?
What?
That I'm going to pick the number one pick of the draft, baby. I want to get the number one pick today. I'm going to... You know you talk about willing things to happen?
Yeah.
I am willing the fact that I will be the number one pick. Let's watch.
Right now, top of your head, if you had the number one pick, who would you go?
Clinton Portis.
Yep.
Banged up or not?
You're a goddamn genius.
Yes, I am.
Woo, look out! Look out!
Look out. Woo.
No, serious answer.
You're a goddamn
question.
Genius.
I think I would probably go with Ron Johnson.
See, I think that's funny.
I know, because it's old football.
Number 30, right?
Number 44, I think.
No, I don't think. Ron Johnson for the New York Giants?
No, 44 was Joe Morris. Was another Morris guy. A white Morris. Not Joe Morris, who also played for the Giants.
Garrett Morris?
That's it. Garrett Morris.
Garrett Morris. What do you
think? I would probably go with Peyton Manning, the aforementioned Peyton Manning, if I had the number one pick.
Really? You take him number one overall?
I would take him number one.
Hmm.
But I haven't done any of my exhaustive research yet.
You've got to buy that magazine.
I know. You want it? You don't want it right now.
Well, we better get them before they all sell out.
You want it the week of the draft in case there's some injuries.
Right. Well, they'll have a website where you can call it. You can get updated.
All right, Rob. Okay. Rob, I can tell this the way fantasy is going to go. It's you and me. We're going to have some battles.
Yeah, it's going to be battling for last place.
All right, cats. Listen, when we come back, we'll do the fantasy draft. We'll get our at least our spot in the draft.
Uh-huh.
And all I know from Mike is the two things he mentioned to me. I said, how was your weekend? He said, it was great. He said,
ate bad.
I'm willing to tell you seriously everything I ate
bad
this weekend.
All weekend. Mm.
I'll try during the break to write down everything I ate this weekend.
Okay.
Because we had a power kick to the finish yesterday.
Okay.
When we got home. Yeah. It was amazing.
All right.
Kobayashi?
Yeah, somebody was house was dog sitting for us. Mm-hmm. If the dogs had been there, they would have been in danger. Danger of being deep fried.
Better that dog.
Just for food.
And for some reason, you went to Gettysburg, right?
Went to Gettysburg.
Gettysburg, Pennsylvania?
You know I'm an idiot, but I'm in love with it. I had a fantastic time. I love that part of Pennsylvania.
When are you going to start the Civil War reenactments?
Soon. Sooner than later, I guarantee. It was fantastic. It was great.
When you were looking at
it's like a real slice of Americana. And I mean, mm-hmm. not just the fact that it's a touristy battlefield place. It was just that part of the world. I like it. I love it up there.
When you were looking at the rolling countryside of Pennsylvania, did you ever think, you know what?
This looks like Ireland?
Yeah.
No, I never did.
Never
but
did.
I do regret that I didn't make it into bear country, where they make the teddy bears.
Hey, baby.
Yes, our own bear.
We'll be back, everybody.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, now come in, Slagburger here. I'm going to try this with some new Dr. Phil tapes.
You are a crying,
pit-bleeding
ass.
No, you didn't make it.
You do it with somebody else?
He didn't make it there. We're trying with Dr. Phil. Let me see. Okay, and here we go.
Hey, you. What's going on?
You can suck this.
That's good already.
Well, that's good.
Bless her heart. She can't add two and two, but she got a great body, and I'm taking her home.
I don't know. I was just wondering what you were up to.
Have you ever said no?
Well, I'm going out later. You should come.
Are you a prostitute?
It's going to be awesome.
You going to try to do that with me? Because I'll get all over you.
Well, what do you have to do?
Slut, skank, whore.
Whatever. We're going out and you're coming.
Bless her heart, she can't add two and two, but she got a great body, and I'm taking her home. God, you're ugly.
Oh, my God. You know who's going to be there?
I'm going to jerk a knot in your tail.
Yeah.
Shut the F up.
Yeah, you know who.
Mind your own effing business. Leave me the F alone. I hate you. F you. Shut the F up.
So should I tell them you're coming?
I'm a funny guy, but I don't think that's funny.
Well, what are you doing this weekend? I was thinking we should go eat brunch downtown.
Oh, hold on a second. Did I just lose all that?
You effing C-word.
You know, that place, that Thai place is pretty awesome.
When are you coming over so I can F you?
Or that burrito place with the extra spicy salsa?
Your behavior is outrageous and unacceptable.
Yeah. So why don't we meet there at 7?
Tell me under what rationale that's okay.
All right. I can't wait to see you.
You effing C-word.
All right. Well, you hang up first.
Effing idiot.
Bye.
I slapped her in the face, hit her with a belt, called her a moron.
And
I'm leaving you, found another woman, okay. And oh, by the way, yeah. I never really loved you anyway.
Right. Wow.
All that they desire is friendship and a discreet VF. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Hey! We certainly have flapped our gums. About how our ratings have sunk recently in D.C. over the last 6 months. You guys have done a great job with the Arbitron ratings, up to number 4. We brag about our great ratings in Baltimore, but let's face it, we still suck. And we've got our next thank you for listening, and let's get the show back to number 1 party. And Kong, we are...
Kong! The 8th wonder of the world!
We're announcing that tomorrow?
Yes.
Tomorrow. Also want to say thank you to everybody that listens to our show on these stations. On the Buzz in Reno.
Yeah.
Also on KHTK in Rochester, New York.
Yay!
And on 970 WZAN in Portland, Maine.
Portland, Maine. Hello to all my family up there. Hello, Portland.
We had some really great spring ratings. In some cases, some record-setting ratings.
Wow.
Oh, that's great.
In those cities.
Wonderful.
So thank you. We'll have all the information about that if you care on our website. But our bottom line is we still suck.
Yep.
We are still here in D.C. rated number 4,
mm-hmm.
behind the news station, behind the hip-hop station. Mm-hmm. So we're trying not to suck so bad.
That's exactly. Right.
And what you got to do is you got to listen harder.
That's right.
Please. What do you think, Phil?
I'm a funny guy, but I don't think that's funny.
Oh, shut up, Phil.
Hey, Phil, why don't you suck this?
You can suck this.
Okay, you're a dick.
You are incredibly immature.
You're a bald dick.
You like attention, don't you?
You're a faggot.
When are you coming over so I can F you?
Yeah, I know. Wow. You effing idiot.
You effing idiot.
Hey, what did you do to Carrie Speedwagon?
I slapped her in the face.
Oh, no.
Hit her with a belt.
Oh, my.
Called her a moron.
Oh, my God.
Where do you think I learned it?
Do you have any advice for Rob?
What I need to do here is have me a bunch of affairs.
Wow.
All right.
How many's a bunch?
How many is a bunch?
You
yeah.
are in denial.
Perhaps.
I think you are way out of control.
Phil.
You need serious help.
Phil. What got me was that we've got a bank of Jim Nantz, but he's talking about Phil Mickelson.
Ah, yes.
So when I keyed in the word Phil,
there was Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil came up, but you'll want to hear the tapes later of Nantz as well.
Right.
This man.
Phil.
So many people have counted him out.
Dueling Phil's, both Dr. Phil McGraw and, of course, Dr. Phil Mickelson.
Mike O'Mara.
Hi.
Mike O'Mara, my best buddy.
Yes.
My radio partner of over 20 years.
Yes, sir.
You have lost a lot of weight recently?
Recently, yes.
We're all proud of you.
Got to the 40-pound mark, and I've been fluctuating around that by about 5 pounds.
And we've been very worried because, you know, when you weigh 40 pounds...
No.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's too thin.
I have another 40 to lose, and then I will be where I want to be. I will be at a svelte 285 pounds, which is where I want to be.
Fighting weight.
That's where I want my weight to be, 285 pounds. So another 40, I think I might get there.
When I come in today, you know, we always do with each other, hey, how was your weekend?
Right. You know, I was leading up to my niece's wedding last weekend, and I was very kind of conscientious about what I would eat, within reason. And after the wedding, we've kind of had two weekends where we've kind of gone out of our minds. And I'll stop saying kind of because it's really not kind of at all. It is. It is what it is. And the fact is, this past weekend...
What did you eat?
We, and more particularly, I ate myself through the weekend. It was, it was a motorcycle journey to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a location that is fairly close by Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be a good bike ride because I don't like to drive. I don't like to take these 10-hour motorcycle rides.
Right.
I like to take a little hour and a half, two-hour hop-up somewhere because I like to get to the destination. And it turned out to be fantastic. It was a absolutely glorious
weekend. The open road
weekend.
Is your bitch.
Well, also, this is there are lots of motorcycles out this weekend because it was absolutely phenomenal. The weather could not have been better. It was the best weekend of the summer as far as weather was concerned. But I think because the weather dried out and there was less humidity, I think I was more inclined to get my feed bag on. And, you know, I said that I would do this during the commercial break, and I was actually jotting this down. I don't think this is anything that I need counseling over, but
is that a front page and a back page?
That's a page and a half of food. I wrote down everything that I ate, starting from Saturday all the way through the weekend. Because I don't really remember Friday night that much. But Friday night, there wasn't a lot of food involved.
Let's compare.
Yeah.
Well, where do you start?
I start because we had a late night on Friday.
You start with Saturday?
I start with Saturday at lunchtime.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay.
And that's so really, I'm not eating any breakfast whatsoever on Saturday. And I want to get extra credit for that. All right?
All right.
We get on the motorcycles. We get a start at about, I would say, 11 o'clock. We leave my hometown. And we make our way up almost like a Union battle group would make our way through these historical towns. We enter the town, the hamlet of Leesburg, Virginia, at about lunchtime. And we have no game plan. And we come up to a traffic light. And I said to Carla, I said, listen, let's not do that Subway thing. We always eat Subway. It'll be easier on the motorcycles if we, instead of eating that healthy little sub that we always eat that's part of the Weight Watchers thing, if we just stop at a decent, let's stop at a nice restaurant and have a nice lunch. That's part of the fun. That's where it began. That's where I set the table for the weekend of eating. And it was
Did you have trouble holding food down Saturday morning?
No. It was just late. It was late and we got started. Okay. It was kind of a last-minute trip. We got a hotel reservation up in Gettysburg.
Yeah.
It's very hard to do.
Yeah.
Very hard
really?
To do. What's that?
Was it the Ritz-Carlton?
It was the Ritz-Carlton Gettysburg, you know, and to get the luxury accommodations. No, it was a real nice place that we stayed up there. I forgot the name of it again. No, I do remember it.
Skanks for the memories.
It was great. So we
the name of the place is Don't Smell This Pillow. This place was Don't Look Under the Sheets.
It was fabulous.
This mattress is staying.
It was wonderful. Smelled good. So we get our way. We make our way into Leesburg, and we arrive in Leesburg at lunchtime.
Band-Aid in. That's a good one, Ron.
The fabulous Band-Aid in. It was wonderful. You always will say that from that hotel in New York with a Band-Aid on the floor. So we find this place, and when you're on a motorcycle, you see something, you turn into a parking lot, and it's not like when you're in a car where you can really crane your neck and find a place to go.
Man born to be wild.
It's the freedom of the road, Don. That's what I like to tell you. It's the freedom of the road. It's easy rider is what it is. It's the open road. But we pull into this parking lot, and it says parking for such and such restaurant only. I do not remember the name of this restaurant. All I know is that when we walked in, we got kind of our jeans on, and we're kind of road dirty, and we walk in. And this is a very upscale restaurant, but they're serving lunch. Right. And I said, what the hell? Let's sit down. If they don't kick us out because we're like not dressed like all the old ladies that are in here, we'll sit down and we'll eat. So we sit down, and that's when the feeding began. And man, I had...
Do you have a list?
I have a list.
Well, then let me see if we've got some music.
All right. Lunch.
What Mike ate this weekend.
Leesburg, Virginia. This is the fancy. This is the fanciest eating that I did.
All right.
This was an upscale restaurant. I had a thing called a Peking duck quesadilla.
Mm.
Wow.
And that is a deep fried duck between tortilla that is pan fried in oil with cheese. And then I had what I would like to think, but it was absolutely incredible, and I ate it. And at that point, I ordered a very light entree, which was a salad. I got the Asian chicken salad with peanut with peanut dressing. The peanut kind of dressing. Yeah, right.
Okay.
Carla ordered a BLT. Carla ate half of her BLT. I ate the second half. So lunch was Peking duck quesadilla, Asian chicken salad, and a half of BLT.
Good lunch, Mike.
We then hit the road, made a couple of stops, and by the time we got to Gettysburg, I was hungry.
True.
And at that point, nothing outrageous. I had a root beer float. And Carla had a Diet Coke. Take the edge off. At the hotel, we got ready to... We got there, I would say, 2 o'clock, 2:30, 3 o'clock. I don't remember. 3:30 probably is when we checked into the hotel.
Yeah.
And I hung out. That's when we kind of passed out because I was kind of having my post-buzz root beer float. And I asked, and I told them when they were making it, I don't eat like this very often anymore.
Right.
I said, don't skimp on the ice cream. So I said, put it in there, and she just loaded it. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
So I had a little bit of a, post root beer flow buzz. To say I passed out would be an overstatement, but I did close my eyes in between watching the game and walking around town and doing that. And then I got a I count soft drinks because I don't eat anything but diet, drink anything but diet. I didn't go to diabetic shock. I had a Tropicana Twister when we went out walking around.
That
doesn't count. Got back to the hotel, and before I went out for the count, watched the end of the baseball game. Really good Red Sox game was out against the Orioles. I had a chocolate bar because they delivered the chocolate for the evening because they weren't going to be there in the morning. And just a little piece, just a tiny little piece of coffee cake that they were dropping off for the morning. Then I went out, okay? I mean out. I slept, and we got up about, I would say, 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Wow.
That night, we were walking around trying to figure out where we were going
to
go.
You didn't go to sleep for the night. You just took a nap.
You took a nap because we had to get up for dinner.
Oh, okay. So you woke up at 6 p.m.
At 6 p.m. or so, we headed out for dinner. 6:30.
You've already had all of that Chinese food.
I had, so far today, Peking duck quesadilla, half of Carla's DLT, an Asian chicken salad sandwich, a root beer float, a chocolate bar, and a piece of coffee cake.
I'm unclear. Who was bringing chocolate where?
the chocolate, the people at the hotel give you the chocolate for the morning. They drop it off in the afternoon.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Not like they give it to you overnight. Normally people would be out of the hotel.
Right? I see.
Right. So they were there, and we said, you know, they said, well, we can drop it off later. Okay. I'm like, no.
All right,
so then it's dinner time.
You slept off that food.
And I do something I haven't done in a long time. Mm-hmm. We go Italian. We go to Mama Ventura's.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And, man, I am ready. I get all the stuff I really want.
What'd you get?
Well, it started with fried calamari. If you want, now there were other less fattening things on the appetizer menu, but I said, really, when you want to say the very best, yeah, man, it was lightly breaded and lightly fried. It was absolutely fantastic.
I bet you couldn't have had a root beer float with it.
Well, they didn't offer it. They didn't offer the root beer float. After that, I ate my appetizer. Carla had ordered the fresh tomato with mozzarella salad.
Ooh.
Yeah. But it looked pretty good because the tomatoes looked really, and I ate half of that.
Right.
Yeah. Because she obviously didn't finish hers. And then I had the pasta, I forgot what it's called, frutta di mare, whatever, pasta. It's pasta with a big plate of spaghetti with clams, mussels, shrimp, calamari, and I think that was it. And some cheese on it, of course, that I had. Then after that, I mean, you know, this is everything I've eaten all day. I'm jammed, and we went to the bar to have a cigarette and an after-dinner drink, and we ordered the Italian dessert sampler.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That they brought out. Carl really didn't want any of it, but that had, like, cookies, macaroons, all this kind of stuff. Didn't have a cannoli. They offered us a cannoli. They had some leftover, you know, lying around. We didn't get that. To bed, what a day. But before bed,
what?
We had a little night time. You know, got a little of the nightlife around Gettysburg.
Gettysburg.
Which is rocking.
Yeah.
It's got, you know, Vegas has nothing on this.
I'll bet.
And when I got home, like wee hours of the morning, it was like midnight before we turned in, Carlo immediately went to sleep, and I stayed up, you know, because I was kind of wired up. I'm a nighttime guy, and I ate half a coffee cake.
Half a coffee cake.
And a few gulps of orange juice. They had gave you the breakfast stuff. Now, it's part of the package, and they gave it to you. So Sunday,
half a coffee cake.
That's it. I was done eating for Saturday.
Way to stop at half.
Was it the top half with all the crumbs on it?
No, it was the second half.
Oh, okay.
Sunday we stopped. We headed out early. About 10 o'clock we headed out of Dodge.
Ooh.
And did a little tour of the battlefield, but the people got pissed off because the Civil War reenactors heard the motorcycle pipes
right.
And were not happy, so we kind of got chased out of the battlefield.
Yeah.
We headed out, and fortunately...
But that made you hungry.
Off of Route 15, I spied the... the Mountain Gate Restaurant in Thurmont, Maryland, that I happened to catch off of Route 15. And very luckily, I didn't know this. Now, I used to do this all the time. Luckily, they had a buffet, which they called, even at like 12 noon, they called it their dinner buffet.
Wow.
And at the buffet, I had corn, mashed potatoes, fried chicken, mac and cheese, roast beef, beef stew, corn fritters, a couple of green beans.
Holy crap.
Wow.
Then, of course, they had a beautiful dessert bar that was there also.
Of course. What did you have
there? We shared this. I didn't eat all of this. I just had a little taste. We shared a bit of dessert.
Uh-huh.
Chocolate chip cookies, banana cream pie, Boston cream pie, and something else that tasted really, really good.
I'll bet.
Then it was on to the bikes with some serious riding. After that, because it was, you know, I mean, enough eating, you got to get home.
That's
eventually.
Right.
And,
you weren't sleeping?
By this time, it was a little warmer day on Sunday than it was on Saturday. I'm wearing all black, which is really considering what I ate. Good idea to wear all black. Like fat guys on motorcycles are supposed to wear.
Swimming.
And the sun beating down. I mean, I realized one thing. Like, you go out, you play golf, you go on a boat, you go anywhere, you put sunscreen on. Put sunscreen on when you're on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
This is not booze related. This is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer because of my sunburn.
Like
the second one I got. When we got home, we both kind of passed out because it was the sun. It was a massive, massive lunch that we had eaten at the Mountain Gate restaurant. And then when we woke up once again... My sweat does not smell like vanilla. When I woke up once again, the same that witching hour, about 5 o'clock.
This is yesterday afternoon.
We rallied, and that is when I instructed Carla to think about dinner.
Yeah.
And, of course, she was tired and didn't want to cook, so I said, why don't you go out and surprise me? Now normally that is an indicator that we're eating badly and she's going to come back with something really amazing.
Uh-huh.
And, but it really wasn't amazing. All she came back with was Kentucky Fried Chicken. So at 6:30, ish, you know, once she got moving, she got out about 6, came back half hour later.
Right.
3 to 4 pieces of chicken.
Uh-huh.
She got a bucket.
Oh,
a large serving of mashed potatoes and gravy.
Yeah.
Some more corn and 2 biscuits. Later on, I'm winding down here, almost at the end.
Holy
right man. Before bed, an ice cream sandwich and some light Doritos.
That's
How
over 40
are
pounds.
You doing?
That's over 40 pounds of food.
It was,
wow.
And really, outside of the, you know, hey, no, I don't want to slight the company, but, no slight to KFC, but it was really not as satisfying a meal as I had
well,
at other places.
You'll have to try again.
You know, I would have preferred, really, as I told Carla, I would have liked to try the Popeyes, too.
I've always found the fifth piece taste best.
Mm-hmm. But I ate some greens. I turned away a couple of salads over the weekend. I mean, I was really getting. I mean, when it was a mission.
You're incredible.
Once we got into Leesburg, it was a mission
to eat everything.
Yeah, and here's the thing: I lost 5 pounds. Go figure. No,
wow.
It was delicious, and Gettysburg's a cool place to go, and ride motorcycles is now one of my favorite things to do. I truly, except coming back, my coccyx was a little sore.
Was your mileage less coming back?
No.
No. Your gas mileage?
No. It should have been. I don't get that.
From the extra weight.
You're fatter.
All the
food.
Oh, okay.
You're fatter. Now
wind resistance. No, but my coccyx, as they say in Napoleon Dynamite.
Your coccyx.
Yeah. My coccyx.
Yeah. Right.
Was, well, that's the way that the guy that got arrested.
Yeah, I know. Right.
I'll go. Yeah, it was a less comfortable ride coming back than it was going up.
Of course it would.
It was very, you know, it was too much sun beating down on me and, you know. Oh, I stopped at 7-Eleven, too.
For a snack?
No, I think I just got a bottle of water. Ah, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
You just got a bottle of water?
Nothing yet. I haven't had anything. I've been on my diet today, though.
Good.
Good for you, Mike.
Good.
Nothing but Reese's Pieces.
All it's done. A gas! Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello? Oh, I see what I got to do. That's my fault. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Mike, I want to know if when you took your nap, you left instructions to be wakened and fed a cherry pie.
I don't know, but I mean, there was really it was passing out due to food both times.
And go Red Sox, by the way.
Thank you very much. Hey, I had a Boston cream pie at the Mountain Gate restaurant.
A whole pie?
There's some big women in Thurmont, Maryland. I don't mind telling you.
Sturdy. Very sturdy.
Party right next to us, man. And they started with salads. It was the sweetest thing.
Coffee cake.
They started out with salads, and I said, that's not going to be the only thing.
Hello.
Man, oh, man.
Don and Mike.
You were right.
Hello. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Are you still drinking diet sodas when all this is going down?
No, actually, I didn't mention that. We drank a ton of Sprite last night, too.
Sugared Sprite.
Sugared Sprite.
Not diet Sprite.
That, to me, is going all the way. That is committing to eating badly.
Oh, wasted move.
That is getting out of your system. We did eat Sprite, but, I mean, I had a couple of...
Eat Sprite.
I mean, we ate a couple of Diet Cokes over the weekend, too.
All right.
And we ate some
Don.
Diet Pepsis, too.
Yeah.
Have you been doing any gigging lately?
Gigging.
Do some gigging.
Get out of here. That's a good list, Mike, and thank you for that.
And
wow.
That Italian food was just fantastic.
Sound like it.
Well, sure.
Oh, it was. No, I mean, really, it was not because I was just eating that. It was when you're going to eat that and you hit a restaurant that serves the good stuff, man, oh, man, Jesus Christ, I'm going to kick your ass. But, of course, I think the next weekend I should be a little more mellow with the chow, probably.
Exactly. Let us know.
Because you don't lose unless you can't do that on the weekends and still maintain your weight.
You're fighting.
Here's a little bulletin. You tend to gain when you eat like that.
No.
No, that is, Mike, that is an urban myth.
I think you're probably right.
Urban legend.
Mm-hmm. I think as long as you chew it,
you know. You know how you lose weight?
How do you lose weight?
By making people laugh.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. By right. Making people laugh.
Well, and then I certainly hope I'm able to lose more this year.
Start laughing.
Thank you. Thank you, Skitty. Did you eat anything bad this weekend?
I did. I also fell off the wagon. My list pales next to yours.
Oh,
but for
on,
me, a horrible,
on.
Horrible list.
All right, Buzz.
Here's what I had. And normally, I eat healthy all the time.
Hey, good Buzz.
So I went crazy this weekend and had tacos, hot dogs, ice cream, cotton candy, 2 kinds of cookies, cashews, peanuts, popcorn, and chocolate chips.
All right.
You ate 2 pounds of cookies?
No, 2 kinds of cookies.
Two kinds of cookies?
Yes. Mm-hmm. But I ate like a box of one of the kinds.
You're being conspicuously quiet, Rob.
I got not much to bring.
You were by yourself.
I drank a lot of beer.
There you go.
That's calories. I'm thinking maybe about Well, let's call 21 bottles a keg. And so that's 24 beers, and if every beer is like two slices of bread, add like a couple loaves of bread throughout the weekend.
You know what I found out also? You know, whether it's on the cob or in a big vat, I love corn.
Corn is the best.
Indians call it maize.
I love corn.
God, I'm trying to think. I'd love to say, because I'm fat, as we've determined. I'm still only down to 213 on the list.
And working on
1 pound.
I know, and if Carla's listening, I know I'm going to call her during the break, and I know exactly what's going to happen.
You forgot?
She's going to mention like three or four things that we forgot.
Let me see. Saturday, a little chicken salad on cracker. We had some of that. Then we had popcorn at the movies, and that's it for Saturday. Sunday, we had a little more chicken salad with crackers, and then chicken and squash.
You wild man. Healthy.
That was it. But also, just booze. Non-stop.
Normally that
we just drink it right out of the bottle.
Right.
I mean, right out of the big, gigantic bottle.
And normally, that slows me down.
That didn't slow me down this weekend. Good for you.
There was plenty of that, too.
Beer or booze?
Beer.
You got to know.
Beer and wine. Had about a million beers.
Wow, wine makes you eat good.
You got to know that I'm in a good spot. When it was yesterday afternoon, I was just sitting outside by the cement pond.
Right.
And Janet said, I'm going to go inside and refresh my drink. Can I refresh your drink? Yeah. And I said, baby, you're the greatest. And she got up to go do that. And I got up. And when I got up, it was that thing like I thought, why is my foot falling asleep? And very rare that I say that. Cancel that order.
Oh, really?
Because
you'd overindulged.
Well, I believe so.
I knew it was time.
I believe when you stand up and you think your foot is asleep.
You think perhaps you're having a Curly Howard stroke.
Yes. Well,
might be time to slow down.
I wasn't really sure. It was just, why can't I feel my foot? Why can't I feel my foot?
Right. Another drink would have brought that feeling back. That's what I found.
Or BCP.
What's that?
Boston cream pie. Yum.
Well, yum, goddamn, every line is ringing now, and I bet they're all calling for you, friend.
You know what the great myth is, though? That somehow chicken is better not fried. It's still the best way to make chicken.
It is.
The tastiest, period.
John Mike, hello.
Best for you.
What did you do to Mike?
Out of here. We're just
moving on.
It was Doug.
Hello there. What am I doing? Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello, I want to talk to Mike Biscuit O'Mara.
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hey, Mike, man, you didn't have any ice cream sundaes? No big malted or something like that?
Yeah, I had a root beer float, and I had an ice cream sandwich, and I had a lot of pie. But I didn't have any ice cream, even though at the buffet, the waiter came over and said, would you like some, when we were like picking at this dessert, he said, would you like some ice cream with that? I mean, it was a buffet restaurant. I haven't been in one of those places in a long time. Damn, finally.
Hey, Don.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Don, the next time you stand up and you don't feel your leg, just start jumping up and down in the air and flapping your arms.
I don't
the
know
feeling will come back.
Flap your arms.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
That's how you get your feeling back.
We figured out what it was, because she had gone up and made a drink, and came, it was a pretty strong.
So your leg fell asleep?
Powerful drink that I was
didn't
sitting.
Feel it.
I was really reading a book with a leg like underneath my other leg, and I got up, and because I was, I had a very strong drink with not a lot to eat, I didn't realize that I had my leg folded underneath my other leg. So the mystery was solved.
Yeah, mystery solved.
And then we had a root beer float.
Oh, man. Seriously, all I'm thinking about right now is candy.
Yeah. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Candy bar.
Sugar begets sugar.
I know.
Yeah.
Your BMs must be incredible.
Really good.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. RG, really good.
Can you say that as a compliment?
Yeah.
From one man to another?
Really, really good.
You must have some outstanding BMs.
Just fine. Just fine and over in a matter of seconds.
You know, BMs that Rosie and Rush would kill for.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's not certainly not the way. You don't, here's a bulletin.
Huh?
You don't feel real good at the end of a weekend like that. As a matter of fact, you don't feel real good when you wake up Monday after a weekend like
that. Food hangover.
Okay.
Carla called me from her office and said, are you puffy? I said, you're goddamn right I'm puffy. I swear to God, I feel like a salt lick. But remember,
I really do.
You don't get points for skipping breakfast. That's the sumo wrestler's diet. No breakfast, lunch, a nap, and then get up and have dinner. That's
well,
what you did.
That's
weekend.
Where the booze comes right. in. You know, right. I'm not going to eat my way through a weekend and right. give up my late nights at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Of course not, Will.
Not when I'm up there in Gettysburg.
We got a break, Mr. Power.
You know, 47 years ago, I drank a lot of beer.
We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Napoleon. What'd you do all last summer again?
I told you, I spent it with my uncle in Alaska, hunting wolverines.
Did you shoot any?
Yes, like 50 of them. They kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
What kind of gun did you use?
A freaking 12-gauge. What do you think?
Oh. It's Don and Mike.
Hi there.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Okay.
Okay, so you're hot.
Oh, that's brilliant. Crime.
Just sit around.
Crime. Open crime.
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 Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the mundus.
Right.
Oscar loves the Don and Mike Show.
He apparently does. And this segment of our show at Westwood One, brought to you by eSurance.com, instant online car insurance. Let me see. Real fast, guys. Get 1 to 10. Let's do the draft order.
Okay. Draft time. Oh, wait, hold on. Okay, all right. I didn't know you were going to do it right now. Focus on that
mojo,
goal.
Mojo, 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 this program note,
yes?
Scheduled to appear on our show this week, Funnyman Patton Oswalt.
Oh, I love Patton.
And also Wednesday, Elvis is Still Dead. It's our annual All Elvis, All the Time, Elvis D-Day show.
Hey!
And with the relaxed standards, this year we'll be able to go back into some of the scatological stories about Elvis.
You mean when he was wrapped with a bed sheet?
And also we'll be able to get in depth on my Peter and look at all the babies we killed. Yeah, all of your favorite Elvis
classics.
Stuff. All the stuff that they took away the last couple of years.
Man, we keep his memory alive, Jack.
Well, Robbie?
Cut loose, Jack. Cut well, loose.
Cut loose. Oh, that's right. Cut loose. Let's just do this right now and get this done.
Drawing.
So, for those who... I don't want to pick first.
I will.
No.
All right, Rob. I tell you what. Rob, why don't you...
What? It's fine when he does that, and then you give me the look.
Well, you're the one who's going to pick number one.
I have mojo. I will. Yeah, I'd be
all right,
happy
Mike,
too.
All right, pick first, Mike.
I'd be happy
pick
to.
Pick a number first.
I'd be happy to.
Now, Johnny, how many guys are in our league?
Eight.
Mike is going to draw the number one.
What's the past tense?
Come on, Mike. Come on, Mike.
Past tense of eight.
All right, Mike's drawn his number, but hasn't looked at it. Now he's looking.
I will first draw for my son.
Bart's number.
All right.
Bart's number.
Okay.
Okay. And Bart's number, draft number is? Son of a bitch.
Number two.
Number two. Bart has the number two
Bart
pick.
Has two.
Now I will pick my pick. Boy, I wish I would have lied about that.
You can still make it better.
Ha. Huh. And friends.
Oh, F you.
I did.
Oh, F you.
What a coincidence.
I did.
All right, I'm going to open mine now. Oh, that sucks.
I just picked number one and number two, back to back. Hey!
I'm number six.
Number six is mine.
All right, Robbie.
Second half of the draft. That, I hate it. I'm out. I'm quitting.
Oh, and I had week seven. I'm going to pick for Travis.
Okay, oh.
What is this pick for somebody else crap?
Well, Travis
well,
is not here.
How is Bart going to be here? How is Travis going to be here?
I don't know. I'm just pissed.
Still sore about that six.
Travis has number four.
Oh, good. And you have what, number three?
We shouldn't draw for him first.
And
I'm coming over there like a linebacker if you get number three. I'm coming over. I'm leaving my feet. I'm leaving my feet.
The good thing about number three is it would be for sale.
Let's see what Rob got. And you know what? And I know number one is not for sale.
No, not this year.
There couldn't be more.
I got an M.
Oh, I guess it must be number three.
Mike is really attacking Rob now.
I'm going to cut him. Jesus Christ, this sucks. This fantasy league sucks. This sucks.
We've not even started yet.
This sucks.
Joe, what did you pick?
All right.
Five.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, now I get to draw. I'll bet there's still some good ones left.
Oh, man.
Where'd you get Buzz?
Seven.
All right, and...
I wonder what John got.
What about Yanni?
John's number eight.
Hey, man.
Wow.
You got a joint?
No, my kid's not there, so I can give the good news.
Oh.
Once again, the Source Men will dominate the draft and dominate our league.
Hmm, that never happens.
Michael Source.
And in a matter of moments, we'll have our divisions, too.
Oh, boy. Now the choices, the choices.
If Nelson's number two, it would be worth it, Rob.
The choices.
What if I had a nickel?
The Source Men have the two top picks.
Larry Johnson, LaDainian Tomlinson, or do I remain true to the big, goofy number 18 for the Indianapolis Colts?
Peyton Manning.
Mm. I bet that one of the Source Men would sell his spot.
I don't know. You know, it's more. You know what? Buying it, there's one thing to, like, do sneaky stuff with money. But it's the order of the draft. It's Ooh. Just
man, I got to go play the lottery today.
Look yeah. at you,
look yeah. at that.
And I was sitting there saying, I've got the karma. I'm gonna will that
yeah,
to have
that word.
But you know what? I will you to have it.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And where am I? Number six. Number six could not be. I'd rather be last.
I will you to have a big Boston cream pie this weekend.
Yeah, well,
and that worked out.
I'm gonna. Oh boy, I almost said something I couldn't say on the radio.
Might have gone better if you'd used playing cards.
Oh, F you, Rob.
Mike.
Never
yeah.
Himself.
I have something that's going to take your mind off this.
Okay.
Off this draft.
All right. I'm throwing this six away.
Now these
Dr. Phil. Oh, Dr. Phil?
Are you a drunk?
Yes.
I think Mike's drunk today. I don't.
Not today.
You've been drinking today.
No, I have not.
Have you ever said no?
Mm-hmm. I have.
You just don't value yourself enough. The fact that you would let them touch you is disgusting, and I don't want you to ever right. do it again
Dr.
the
Phil,
rest of your life.
Dr. Phil, I said no to the ice cream.
Tell me under what rationale that's okay.
Tell me under what rationale you're not listening to me, Dr.
You
Phil.
You effing idiot.
Hey, back off.
Are you an idiot? Are you a moron?
You are.
Are you effing stupid?
Shut up.
When are you coming over so I can F you?
Oh, wait a second now. I didn't know you were interested in that.
Dr. Phil tapes are there for a reason. Mm-hmm. If you go to our website today, dynamikewebsite.com, mm-hmm. you will see some photos.
Yes.
Dr. Phil's son is married. He got married over the weekend.
Uh-huh.
His kid has written one of these self-help books.
Right.
His name is Jay McGraw.
So he's doing the same thing his father does?
Yeah, except, Mike, he married Erica Dahm. Do you know who Erica Dahm is?
I do not.
Mike, do you remember the days of Playboy, the Dom triplets?
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't they live with F for a while?
Why don't you look at this picture of these three beautiful bottoms and those six beautiful breasts.
There they are.
And let's play a game. Can you pick which of the triplets Dr. Phil's son married?
You know, even though they are triplets, you can see, like, a different look. And I would say the best looking of the one is...
Slut, skank, whore. You are incredibly immature.
Yeah.
Bless her heart, she can't add two and two, but she got a great body, and I'm taking her home.
Uh-huh.
The one on the far right is, to me, the prettiest.
You effing C-word.
Let me see, do we have the answer?
No.
No, we don't.
We don't know.
Tell.
The Dom triplets.
Oh.
So he married one of the Dom triplets?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got Dom triplets.
Dom him. Wow.
How about that?
That's a Dom shame.
Piece of ass.
Man, they are.
Just remember, Hef's been there.
Yeah. It didn't, I mean, they lived with Hef.
Yeah, be a little dusty down there.
I've been down there in the grotto with the Dom triplets.
I hope he is not Quick Draw McGraw.
I will say this, when I was finding those pictures for the website today, it was perhaps the best use of Google I've ever done.
Wow.
Shut the F up.
Dr. Phil didn't like that.
What are you, a moron? Tell me under what rationale that's okay.
They're lovely, but those are some bony bottoms.
What I need to do here is have me a bunch of affairs.
Yeah.
You like a little more cushion?
Yeah, I mean, especially look at the one on the left in the top picture.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think it might be the angle of the photo.
You could lose an eye on that.
I think she's a little bony, but then...
God, you're ugly.
Not bony up on top there.
No.
What, are you a moron?
Not at all.
Mind your own effing business. Leave me the F alone. Yeah. I hate you. F you. Shut the F up.
Okay.
We've upset Dr. Phil, obviously.
Clearly.
Let me see. Now, I don't have tape of this. I even went to YouTube and couldn't find tape of this.
Mm-hmm.
As somebody who watches all of the preseason games,
mm-hmm.
I was really interested watching the Tennessee-New Orleans game, see Reggie Bush and to see Vince Young.
Those are the two college standouts, right?
Bush.
Nice.
Bush.
Nice. Bush.
Reggie Bush.
Now, what happens?
Reggie Bush.
What happens during the game is too great. There's a guy named Adrian McPherson. He used to play for Florida State, Florida, something like that. He's one of these guys when he was in college, like, broke into a store or something. Another one of these guys got arrested and thrown out of school.
He was a bad seed.
Yeah, right.
A very bad seed, indeed.
But he's got talent. And, of course, you know, in any walk of life, if you've got talent, you've got enough talent, you can do enough bad stuff. Well, hi, I'm here. Okay.
Right.
So, anyway, he's worked his way back. And he's battling to be the backup quarterback this year with the New Orleans Saints.
Right.
During the game on Saturday, at one point he's standing on the sidelines, and he's just waiting to get in the game. Doesn't have his helmet on. He's got that little earpiece in where he's listening to what's going on.
Right.
And the mascot, this is right after halftime, the mascot for the Titans, who is named T-Rack, he's a big raccoon. Okay, he's like one of these giant mascots.
Mm-hmm.
He's driving around a golf cart, and he's throwing T-shirts to people in the stands.
Okay.
He wasn't watching where he was going.
Oh, no.
And he ran right into this guy.
Uh-huh.
This guy.
Oh, like full speed?
Yeah. And this guy goes down on the ground and grabs his knee.
Oh, Jesus.
And grabs his knee.
Oh, my God.
And it's one of those things that happened so quickly. They said, and I mean,
probably couldn't see because he's got the big mascot head on,
right? Yeah. They're talking about it, and they had just one angle of it that they showed, where they show the guy driving around, throwing up, and then just, boom, running right into the guy.
Oh, no.
Where is it?
Oh, no.
So anyway, we called the Tennessee Titans today.
Right.
And here is exactly.
Get a progress report, find out how he's doing.
Here's what we heard. Let me see. Rob John, somebody called. According to the Tennessee Titans, they have gotten calls from around the world about this. It is just a bruise. He will not miss any practices.
Oh, good.
And Jeff Fisher, coach of the Tennessee Titans,
yes,
says that he will talk to the NFL about mascot safety.
The mascot safety. You know, it seems to me the mascot thing has gotten a little out of line, like those brat races that they have. Oh, you know, remember when somebody got hit,
right,
and then they showed another one? They're doing a lot of things where mascots are wrestling and,
yeah,
and getting, it's gotten a little out of line.
Perfect. Just don't underestimate the power of a golf machine. That's what you always must respect, the golf machine.
Oh, I've been, have you ever been thrown out of a golf cart?
Only when I've been drinking.
I was. Yes, I was. Right after I had a Boston Cream Pie.
Okay. One more list that'll drive you nuts. And then, Rob, get ready to get your high heels on.
Okay,
good. We're going to call the sex lines for you here.
Goody, goody.
From the BBC, the most beautiful person in the world, the most naturally beautiful person in the world. It's a boring list. Except for number 8, which I can't figure out.
All right.
This makes me wonder how the Brits caught these guys that wanted to bring our planes down.
Their eyes aren't that good. Huh?
This is obviously a British poll.
Hello.
The number 1 most beautiful person, naturally most beautiful person in the world, is Sophia Loren.
Well, but she's 90 years old.
Number two is George Clooney.
He's not 90 years old.
Number 3 is Charlotte Church. She is some Welsh opera singer.
Well, I mean, she was a little kid a few years back when she... She's 20 now.
She's all grown
up.
Has
she blossomed a little bit?
She is pretty.
Okay.
Yeah. Then you have Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I agree with that one, sure.
Johnny Depp.
Right. I agree with that one, too.
Kate Winslet.
No.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
No.
Now, there's someone between Gwyneth Paltrow and Cameron Diaz.
Let me picture that for a moment.
You don't...
See, as much as I didn't say she should be on the list, I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Of course.
Kathy Griffin?
According to the BBC, no.
Good guess.
It's Jack Black.
Are you kidding
me? Wow. I mean, Why would, you know...
Are the Brits, like, in love with him? Is that what it is? Are the Brits, is he popular in Britain?
I don't know. All I know is that if you're Cameron Diaz and you're waking up this morning and you're thinking that your daisy doesn't stink...
Right.
How'd you like to open up the newspaper
below
and see that in Britain...
Speaking of something that stinks.
They think that Jack Black...
El Nacho Libre?
...is more naturally beautiful than Cameron Diaz.
Ew!
He's not in that British way. I suppose so.
I guess so.
That Winston Churchill way.
Right. I don't know. That's all I got.
That's your
nasty.
That's all I got for you today. And, you know, I know I've mentioned tape. There was one other thing on TV last night. I don't think Mike Wallace does the type of interviews that he used to do so much on 60 Minutes anymore.
Right. I watched the whole thing last night.
Last night with the president of Iraq.
Absolutely as fascinating an interview as I've seen.
I watched the whole thing, too, and... To briefly summarize, here's why Mike Wallace is great.
He is the greatest. At what, 100 years old, he's still the best.
He's got this guy wearing a members-only jacket, wearing golf pants up to his belly button. He is the president of Iraq. Right.
And he's next
Iran.
And he's next on the, you know, the enemies list.
Right.
He's the guy.
And they've got to go through a translator. So, like, anytime Mike Wallace says, just answer the question, you have to sit through on the other side, you're hearing... It says, you know, but it will take me so long to answer your question.
Great questions.
But at one point, says them. Mike Wallace is really getting pissed off at this guy because he will not answer the question.
Right, and Mike Wallace, you know, and almost, I would say it's that old man way that he doesn't fear for his own safety.
Right.
But he's been like that since he was, you know, 40 years old.
You sit there and just over and over, the clip is just Mike Wallace saying to this guy, answer the question.
Right.
It's simple. Yes or no. You're waiting for the translator.
Right.
Answer the question. Answer the question. And then the guy, the president of Iran, through the translator, says, your questions are so long, it takes me a long time to respond.
This was not without validity, I thought.
But if my answers are too long-winded for you, then perhaps we could call this interview off.
And that's when Mike Wallace goes, no.
Mike Wallace, and this is great, because this is how I read this, Mike.
Right.
Cynical as hell. Now, he's been sitting there for 2 hours. As he said, I've been here for 2 hours not getting an answer. He folds his arms and he says, no, I don't want to leave. I have the privilege of sitting.
Great moment.
I have the privilege of sitting with the president of the great nation of Iran. Why would I want to leave?
And what you were saying at that moment you're pointing out was that not the best moment in the whole?
Because what he's saying to us,
he's doing his thing.
He's saying, why would I want to leave? I'm talking to a greasy, lying son of a bitch wearing a members only jacket who won't answer one goddamn all American question I have.
And did you see when they passed him a note? The president of Iran gets passed a note, and he presses him on. I said, what did it say? What did the note say?
And he
was honest. He gave an honest answer. He said, they told me to straighten my jacket.
And then Mike Wallace says...
Now, the guy that told him to straighten his jacket, of course, is in prison today.
And now the guy that... So the guy gives the president of Iran, who looks like a terrorist, in shock, except he's got a members only jacket on. They give them a note, like Mike says, that says, straighten your jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mike Wallace is wearing a suit and tie.
Right.
This guy is the freaking president of Iran.
Right.
And he's dressed like a homeless guy.
Well, that's his uniform. He wears that everywhere. That's his thing. That's his man of the people.
But again, I thought Mike Wallace did a very good job.
Wasn't it riveting? Because, I mean, this is the next guy. This is the guy that we're being told the guy that we need to get next. I don't necessarily believe that.
What he said was, just about the clothes he said, Mike Wallace says, you just got handed a note. What is the note?
And he says, and he doesn't answer it at first, right?
He says, and Mike Wallace pushes him.
What did it say? He says,
I should straighten my jacket. And Mike Wallace looks at him and says, and again, dripping with sarcasm the way I hear it. You look fantastic.
You did. He did.
You look great. Your wardrobe is outstanding, Mr. President.
Everybody that he interviews, it's almost like the ego is what gets him in. They want to go match wits with Mike Wallace, but Mike Wallace just does it in such a way, and none of the other ones do this. Do you agree?
No.
They don't combine almost a diplomatic, statesman-like delivery with getting those questions in, man, and having absolutely no fear at all. These are people that put blindfold, you know, back in Jimmy Carter's administration, blindfolded us and, supposedly have 50,000 martyrs ready to suicide bomb their way into oblivion. I mean, it's just, I thought it was great. And I also thought it was interesting. I mean, I really thought that you know, just to listen, you know, you almost think that maybe there ought to be more of that.
There's
know,
been
more,
some
more
criticism that Mike Wallace was actually too soft in that interview.
Buzz, I think you really had to see it, right, to see that he was, at least with all the cuts they made, with all the times that you saw him saying, answer the question, answer the question.
Right. I got the impression if he had gone further,
yeah,
that they would have shut him down.
He was finessing it the way he always
had. And you know
had.
What? I thought it was also, you know who's probably criticizing it?
Really?
Ooh. The people that want us to go over there and have another war.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was pretty interesting what was said. It really, on both sides. I mean, you don't. I for one, really, before we send people in to blow up, I'd like to kind of know what the people think.
Well, the other thing that I'm sure you saw if you watched the entire 60 Minutes, they're starting the ads now for Katie Couric.
Yeah, I saw those too.
Hi. I'm, first it's, hi, I'm perfect, I'm self-important, I'm perky, I'm put together, yet I'm down to work. I make more than any of you housefrows, yet I'm going to empower all women. I'm Katie Couric, and if you don't watch me, go F yourself. I mean, in essence...
Did you watch all of 60 Minutes?
That's what it is.
Did you watch the Colbert Report guy that they did the profile of? Is it Stephen Colbert?
Right. Uh-huh.
Stephen Colbert. The guy from The Daily Show.
Did you see the moment? It was a clip from the Colbert Report that I hadn't seen. Apparently, he's interviewing every congressman from all 50 states, and he has the Italian guy, and he says, react to these Italian stereotypes, and he puts the orange in his mouth, and does the Godfather dying scene. Jesus, that is the best.
He is funny.
I thought the whole thing is...
of course, Andy Rooney.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they bring out Andy Rooney on the dog show.
On the Westminster dog show.
And you say to yourself, maybe it's time to, you know, time for him to go to stud.
Dig a hole.
Yes,
tonight on 60 Minutes, Katie Couric will be digging a hole
for Andy Rooney.
And on top, we're going to throw Leslie Stahl.
You know, I feel the opposite.
She's got a vagina, and she's a challenger to Katie Couric.
You know, I feel the opposite about Mike Wallace. You know, Mike Wallace is retiring. Obviously, he's 100 years old. He should retire. But you watch that interview, and you realize he could probably do another 5 years. But Andy Rooney, on the other hand, is starting to really look like, you know, they ought to wheel him in to do that.
Andy Rooney really is he's the human. If he was to be a superhero, he'd be the ear hair or the nose hair.
Yes. He does. Yeah. You know, he's got hairs that are probably 15 feet long, coming out of different parts of his body.
The brow.
The brow.
The brow.
The power of the brows.
And what is it about these guys that don't trim that? You know, do they like the look where, you know, the eyebrows come down over the
eyes? He does every morning.
He trims his eyebrows.
Every morning.
His eyebrows grow.
They grow.
They grow. My eyebrows grow. By the way, something.
I don't think that Iranian president trims his eyebrows either.
Yeah.
He's unibrow.
Hey, listen, you know, I know nobody wants to profile, but I love it.
Yeah.
Could you just smell that Iranian guy through the TV? I mean, really, could you just smell the goat on him? I swear to Christ.
We don't want them for bombs. We want nuclear power
for God's children.
Help everybody.
I smell you through the TV.
Man, it was great. That's the first time I've enjoyed 60 Minutes from start to finish.
Smell like camel dung in here. Get out of here. Get off my TV.
Turn the lights on. The interview's over.
On the other hand, when Mike Wallace was on, it was the smell of Depends and Vitalis.
Yeah,
and definitely, cigarettes.
Definitely Vitalis. How old is Mike Wallace?
88. 80.
God.
88?
Wow.
88.
That is pretty, that amazes me.
What was it like coming up with him, Buzz?
He was just a punk kid.
What was your, any particular memory that you had of the newsroom in those days?
You know, of all the times we spent together, what I remember, what really stands out in my mind is how cold it was.
All right, we'll be right back, everybody.
Number 4 Arbitron rated, the Don and Mike Show.
Whoa, look out, look out! Help me! Somebody help me! Mashed potatoes, gravy, and cranberry sauce!
You're with Mike this weekend.
Mike Show.
Who's there? Flippin' awesome! Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Sorry. I'm over Rob Dialing for Transvestites. We'll do that in uno momento. This portion of the show, the Don and Mike Show, I was with one, brought to you by Ford. Bold moves. Number 1 pick.
Congratulations.
Yeah, fantasy draft. Just
I've gotten over my rave out, and I congratulate
dumb
you.
Dumb freaking luck this year.
I will not be quitting the league. I will be staying with the league. I will be continuing on.
I didn't get the charity number one pick this year like I did last year.
No.
Nice. Don't have to buy it from anybody like I have in years past.
Right.
Nice.
And you won't be selling it either, will you?
No, sir. No, sir. Number one pick, not going anywhere.
Right.
Not going anywhere.
Right.
One thing I did want to mention from the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and you know what? I would be curious if people would email our website. Who would you take? I mean, because I am
as
torn.
Far as a pick.
I really am torn between Larry Johnson, LaDainian Tomlinson,
mm-hmm.
and Goofy Peyton Manning. I really don't know.
You know what I would do?
What would you do, Rob?
The eighth wonder of the world!
Look over how the crook set up the scoring this year and see if it's going to be better to have a quarterback.
I believe that he's
back.
Calling you a crook, no, John Norman.
I'm going to be rolling over on him and calling him a crook.
I just wanted you to know who I was talking about.
How is he? Has he changed the scoring for this year?
I haven't changed anything. The only thing that I would like to address with everyone is the way we
were.
Memories.
The way we decide ties. Last year I caught a pile of crap on that a couple of different times.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
That's right.
What was the issue with... I know I got burned
in
that one. I forgot.
I know what the issue was. John sucks. Thank you.
John doesn't suck.
We'll talk about it later.
Didn't I get burned on a tie last year?
I think we tied.
We tied
and
I... Yeah. I thought I got burned. I don't remember.
We went by hat size. Right?
You know what? This year, I'm going to care enough to remember.
Right.
By golly, by Joe.
No,
I'm
going
to pay attention to everything.
No, you're not.
Every little detail.
Mm-hmm.
Kickers, rankings, touchdowns, running backs. You know? Everything. I'm going to pay attention.
I'm going to totally blow it here. But maybe I won't.
Hmm?
You've already forgotten about Haircut Wednesday.
I have not.
I have not.
Really?
Well, how could I?
First of all, I could lie to you now and say that I haven't, but I really haven't. I'm planning to come in early on Wednesday.
Have you arranged for a barber? Oh, hold on. Why are you looking back?
Well, he was arranging.
Why are you looking back?
John had already indicated to me that we have a bar. What?
We were talking about it on Friday. There was a nice lady who sent me like four emails that is willing to be here. She'll be here at 2 o'clock if that is good for you.
Oh, 2 o'clock's perfect. Then I don't have to get here that early.
Go ahead. There it is.
Right.
Barber Day Wednesday.
And we're going to do it in the bathroom, right?
Yeah.
We decided.
Yeah, let's do it in the bathroom.
No, well, we decided we were going to do it in the bathroom because the bathroom has the tile floor. And really, technically, you could even do a quick shampoo.
Well, there
right?
you go.
Is she willing to do a shampoo? Now, John, are you going to get your hair trimmed?
Yeah, most definitely.
And Joe, you're definitely getting a haircut, right?
Yep.
Buzz, you going to get a little trim?
Bit of a trim, yes.
Haircut Wednesday.
Okay.
Now, see, but I mean, if you, the thing is, now you've actually served in, if I had forgotten it, you would have reminded
That's
me.
That's what I said. I know I'm playing with dynamite, but yep. I still think.
I still have potential to forget by Wednesday, but 2 o'clock's my rally time
That's
anyway.
That's what I say, though. There's still a chance you'll forget.
I might come in and go. What the hell is she doing here with her? Hey, who's the bitch with the scissors?
Very good chance
that could happen. But I'm excited about her.
There's a very good chance that could happen.
I'm looking forward to it.
Did I tell you this weekend with my girlfriend that when I was actually outside doing something I'm very unaccustomed to doing, actual real manual labor.
Like what?
I was fixing my deck. I was actually fixing my deck. There were spots where the boards were coming up, and
right.
mm-hmm. and they need some reinforcement.
Right.
And I don't want
to set a hammer and nails and stuff.
I was just gonna say I didn't want to set off. Just gonna say that.
Can we
I
take
didn't
a vote.
Yeah, I vote until you get him on the show. Mm-hmm. Every time someone says that word, you have to go up to your office.
That's, I vote against that.
I second that.
Too bad. Go upstairs.
The new no, but I like having you in here, so I'm not going to say it on purpose.
The new alarm.
There are going to be times during fantasy when you're not going to want me in here.
Well, then
and
you
you're
better
come in. You're
then you better get
him.
Then you better get goddamn MC Hammer as a guest.
He's declined many times.
To your office, boy.
Buy that.
He's been banished. It's Monday. You all know what that means.
Right. So
Rob has been.
What undoes it?
What?
Am I there for the rest of the day now?
No, you can't. You got to dial for transvestite.
Till the end of the break.
Till the end of the break.
We'll go to break. Right. Bye-bye.
See you, friend.
Bye.
Take care.
Let that be a lesson. Get that parachuted pants wrapper on this show.
Or,
yeah.
What about, like, just completely eliminating the rule?
See, he won't give that up.
Well, I would.
You would to spend time with us?
Yeah, to be with my friends.
He said he'd give it up.
Come to this.
Go to your room.
Go to your room. You like just sending him to the room. So we're going to have to keep that around for a while. But nobody can do it on purpose. The rule should be nobody can do it on purpose to punish Rob. Except maybe you.
But what I was going to say, before you said that, I was actually going to say, don't penalize me for using the alarm.
Right. So you were sledge booming nails on your deck.
Hammer, 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 hammer.
Right.
It's driving only one person crazy right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's probably on step 7.
Right. Come on, put the hammer down. Get up those stairs. Claw hammer?
Hey, does he have a phone number up there?
Regular hammer?
Hey, Yanni?
Norman!
No, just call his cell phone.
Do our phones work up there yet? They're it's right next to the computer, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They're going to hook him up one of these days. On the TV.
Stop your belly aching. Get your haircut on Wednesday.
You did go along with a haircut Wednesday. Life is good.
You can't touch this. Do, 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 do. Do, do.
What are you doing?
Do, do. Who's calling?
It's Don and Mike.
Oh, in the air studio. How have you been?
So how are things up in your office?
I'm stewing.
All right, Stewie.
Keep stewing. So I'm out, and I'm by the deck, and I got my hammer.
Were you hammering some nails?
I was, Mike. Big Stanley hammer, as a matter of fact.
That's a big hammer. Is that like an oversized hammer?
Yeah, well, Not one that you would see so much in a Carrot Top ad,
right?
Or act, but yes, a rather large hammer.
You could use the word mallet.
I had a lot of hammering to do.
How many nails were you planning on hammering?
At least 8 nails had to be hammered.
That's a lot of hammering.
You bet.
Your thumb.
Let me just give a shout out to Hammer and Hank Aaron, and I sure hope that Barry Bonds don't catch him.
I'd like to send a salute out to Fred the Hammer Williamson. Former NFL great.
Oh, that's a good one, Mike. How about Mike Hammer?
Mike Hammer, yes, played by the great Stacey Keach.
Rob, is this killing you now? We're playing the hammer game?
You know, my hair is falling out, and more than it used to. I mean, I'm pulling it out.
So you're admitting it now. You're admitting you're going bald.
You see, why is this turned this way? Why did this get so ugly? What we had was a great... Funny,
I know
funny
why.
Bit.
Let me see if I can offer some light on this.
Okay, let me offer.
You see him spring to life when that happens more than you see him spring to life for anything else.
Mind reader, thy name is Mike O'Mara.
He gets excited. That is the most important thing to him.
That's why you're hammering him.
That's why we're relentlessly hammering Rob here.
You see, but I told you I'd give it up.
You told us what?
Then I would give it up. I'd give up the hammer.
Well, that's not really fair.
So happy.
That's
the crooked
really...
cross the Nazis flew the hammer and the sickle to.
But that's not really fair to our listeners who have had to endure that for years and years and years.
I've always been about treating them fairly.
And doesn't it play into your obsessive compulsive thing a little
bit? Yes. Yes, it does.
That's right.
Yeah, I think you might be right a little bit.
Making sure that when anyone says that, oh, my God, do it. Yes, there's an emergency.
Well, whatever you do, don't talk about John Lennon's wife.
What, Yoko Ono?
You see...
Until you get her on the show? Every time somebody says her name, you're going to be banished upstairs as well.
You always say no to her. You always turn her down. The thousands of times that I've pitched her.
She'd be as dull as watching a figure skating competition with Nancy Kerrigan.
Nancy Kerrigan. There you go. We've said them all. MC Hammer... Yoko Ono,
Nancy Kerrigan. All our alarms have been disarmed. We smashed them with a hammer.
Deal with it, Rob.
In the words of John Norman.
He's exhaling.
All right, goodbye, Rob. Goodbye. What a creepy producer he is.
He does. That is what gets him going. I noticed that. He springs to life with that.
Thank you for pointing that to me. Because I know it seems like I'm busting his balls too much.
You got it right.
You got it right. You just did the visual on that.
Right.
Like, normally he'll lay there, and you could say to him,
lay there.
You say, Rob, there's a piece of TNT between your butt cheeks. Someone's lit it on fire. He'll go, all right. Someone says hammer.
Right.
Yeah. Woo.
Like a rocket.
Katie bar the door.
He's into it.
Not anymore, he's not. Anyway.
So is this all the alarms now? We're not. Are we going to send him to his office
when any alarm is tripped?
It just depends.
Depends on how he... This is behavior mod?
It depends.
Behavior mod, like if he jumps and manically just steamrolls towards the...
It depends how he performs.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, let's see how he does. We're going to give him a segment here coming up where he's going to call the phone horse. Mm-hmm. You know, dance, monkey, dance.
Well, he'll shine.
I stand by that.
The eighth wonder of the world!
I stand by that.
You know, make us laugh there, monkey.
He will.
So anyway, well now we're running out of time. Well, the point of the story is that it's very early on Sunday morning, and I'm outside actually doing something constructive with my time, if you pardon the pun.
Literally.
And what I'm doing is not falling apart. Mm-hmm. And I'm amazed. And I'm out there like, I'm on top of this. Boom, boom, boom.
Getting it done.
And goddamn, if she doesn't come outside, my girlfriend, and she says, all it took was her presence, just being around me.
Yep.
She said, what you doing? And I said,
oh, no.
I said, I'm fixing the deck. She said, you've done a really good job. I said, thanks. And she stood there for a second and she said, what, do you think I'm going to jinx you or something? And I said, hammering is a lonely business. I said, really, I'm not very good at it. Please, could you just... And she said, okay, I just want to watch.
That's when you smash the hammer into your thumb.
Mike, swear to Christ, I did.
No, I don't think you're alone in that.
I swear to Christ, I did, right there. And you can see how much of the nail I had to rip off.
Yep.
And it's purple on the left
that
side.
That is, I think, every... I mean, well, if you're not handy, and I'm not handy either, I think
I'm
we have people around. You know, if you have a project where you get it done, but as soon as there's an audience, you're going to screw it up.
I had been doing such a perfect job, and she said... That's really good. And, like, right away, like, she was standing there. And
always
said,
happens.
Is it bothering you? And I said, no, not at all. And it was like, I'm help! 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 Go inside!
Just don't buy a nail gun. That's whatever you do.
That's when you turned to her and said, thanks, Yoko.
Right. Were you in as much pain as Nancy Kerrigan was when she got hit by Tonya Harding? I have no idea.
Oh,
right now you can hear the building beginning to shake.
We're just being bad.
He's giving a scream up there going, yee!
Well, serves him right.
Mm-hmm.
Serves him right.
What he's doing right now is he's slipping into something a little more fitting.
All right. Oh, you can be dialing for transvestite.
That's right. He's slipping into a lovely frock.
The banished Dolores Spiewak.
Dolores is making herself pretty.
The whipping boy of the Don and Mike show. You see, every show needs a hero and a villain.
Mm-hmm.
We are the heroes. Rob is the villain.
Right now, all he's doing is upstairs applying eyeliner. Oh, we should check in with him just one more time.
If only he worked as hard at getting MC Hammer on the phone as he did at his singular wireless appearance this weekend.
Is that what it was?
Well, I happen to know because I wasn't at home, but I got the calls. You know, I know exactly what he's going through. I got the call when he arrived.
Right.
When he got there too early,
right.
And he didn't want to show up at the place.
Right.
So I got the call that was like, hey, how are you? Where are you at? And then I got the call afterwards. Well, I'm done with that now. But that was his focus.
You know, when I saw him today, everything was indicating to me that he had a fabulous time there. Nobody loved it more.
That's true.
Just give me the check.
See what he's up to.
No, but even that, he had great enthusiasm for it.
How is it that I became a villain?
Well, you're not so much a villain. Good cop, bad cop is
theatrical
what I would say.
Sense, yeah.
Yes. You're like, like Snidely Whip.
You had it right at the very beginning when you said whipping boy.
Yeah, that I'm accustomed to. Villain?
Well,
I mean, I picture a top hat and a mustache when you say villain.
Well, crimes against nature. I mean, I consider it to be a crime against nature.
You shouldn't be wearing a top hat and a mustache now, especially with what's coming up. What would you be wearing right now?
Oh, right now? Wouldn't you like to know?
You see?
Let me just step behind this dressing screen and see what I have.
Just like Shirley Jones in an old Broadway musical.
You see, if you had just finally gotten MC Hammer on the goddamn show, none of this would have happened. We don't even want to say hello to him. You know what, Rob?
I mean, we don't have to interview him. It would just be, hello, is this MC? How you doing, MC? Thanks for coming on the show. Then it's all better.
You really could have fooled us. I mean, you really could have gotten any Negro on the phone.
I mean, very gullible.
How are we going to know? Right? Hello. Hello, Don. Don's in mice. You know what it would be?
Yeah,
okay.
But Don.
Case closed.
Don.
Yes.
I don't know any Negroes.
Oh, stop it. Stop it. He has a point.
Stop it.
I tried and I looked and I found nothing.
You could have used Robert.
He doesn't agree with me.
Robert the mailman.
You know, now I looked on the internet and I couldn't find anything, so I gave up.
Wait a minute. But
did you Google Negro?
I did. Oh, I have a filter. Blocked it.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. Wow.
Hey, Don.
Hey, look at your big ape watch.
Oh, no.
You know what? I think we're going to have to postpone your Donning for Transvestites, because now that we've had so much fun yelling at you about the alarms,
right,
yes, we got to break.
And you should break. You really should.
We should. Well, thank you for being assertive like that.
Mm.
So maybe someday you'll be allowed back in the studio.
Maybe. Well, according to this understanding that I have, I can come down after the break.
That's right.
Can you be more assertive about breaking for commercials?
Break now. Don and Mike go to break.
Ooh, I'm scared.
Doesn't seem to be working.
You be careful. I'll climb up the building, look in the window.
Oh, he will, too.
Come on, really, as assertively as you can, really implore us to go to break now.
Just do it like you discipline your wife.
You don't want that. Besides, we're not in the same room.
Verbally, though. Not
verbally, because what I was going to do is I was going...
What? Hello?
You lost him. Wow. We lost them. Who's the agent? Wow.
Okay.
I hear thundering down the stairs.
Is he coming downstairs?
I'd be surprised.
He should not move. He should be right up in his office.
He said he would stay until he came back from break. Oh, he's on the phone with someone.
No, hold on. That was me dialing.
Ah.
There you go.
You have reached the friend.
You're right. Hold on. He's calling us. Hello?
How dare you hang up on me? Don't you know you need to break?
I didn't hang up on you.
No, I don't care what happened. The connection was broken, and you need to break.
That's assertive.
Yeah. You're funny, you big pussy.
That's right.
Thank you. Oh, God. I'd like to thank the Academy.
All right, Rob, very nice.
All right, best wishes.
See you later. Yours in Christ.
And ditto back at
you. Your best friends, Don and Mike.
See you back down here in a few minutes.
Can't wait.
Hey, don't forget, I don't want to see you, though, until the end of the break. Don't forget our new rule about you not hanging around the studio during commercials.
I keep that in the hopper at all times.
In the hoppy. Okay, bye, Dolores.
Bye, then.
Bye-bye.
The whipping boy of the Don and Mike show.
I'm sorry. It's too much fun.
It's the way. That is that. It's not the villain. It's the whipping boy.
Too much fun. And the problem, you know, if he wasn't so Rob, it wouldn't be so fun making him the whipping boy.
I think in the old days, Roman emperors had people like that.
Oh, you know, sure they did.
Somebody in the king's court would screw up, and there'd be the whipping boy who would take the punishment. And that's what he's doing right now.
Make the king feel better.
Maybe we'll research it. I might research that and just see, you know, what was the whipping boy all about?
Why don't you Google that, Mike?
I think I'll do that during the commercial
whipping
break.
Boy.
I'm going to Google whipping boy and find out what the role is, and perhaps it can be better defined when we come back.
Okay.
When we come back from break.
Do it now.
Do it now.
Do it now. Or I'm going to hold my breath.
I will have as many details as I can get on the whipping boy.
We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, the muffler plant's gone too.
Yep.
Damn it. Oh, come on, damn it. Oh, that sounds good. Melt the chocolate inside the dash. That really ups the resale value.
I think it's going to be okay here. They have a thin candy shell. Surprised you didn't know that.
I think your brain has a thick candy shell.
Your brain has the shell on it.
Are you talking?
Shut up, Richard.
The Don and Mike Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
It's good, because it's based on books. The Don and Mike Show.
And now the less talented of the Gallagher brothers. So I was thinking back to the original Gallagher and his brother.
Right.
Those guys, the melon guys.
Yeah, what are these guys' names again?
Liam and Fred.
Noel.
What are their names?
Noel and Liam. Which is the screw-up? Which is the one that's, like, out of control? There's one guy that's, like, completely a maniac.
I think it's Noel, right?
I think it's both of them, really.
Really?
Right.
They fight, but one guy like does the gigs and the other guy parties and you know. Scratches.
During the break, we Googled, we Wikipedia'd.
Yep. Right.
just for Rob, we did Google Negro.
Mm-hmm. That came up, yes.
Now, if you just Google the word Negro, the very first thing that comes up on Google is rentanegro.com.
Oh, my God.
Surprising, really.
Now, let me see. Number two is the United Negro College Fund.
Very good. Mm-hmm.
And it goes on and on. Let me just click on
Negro Baseball
Rent a Negro.
Is on there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, why rent a Negro?
Okay. Did you click on it?
Yep, I'm clicking on it right now.
Yeah, why? Why, Don?
Okay, how does it work? Okay, FAQs.
Good.
Frequently asked questions.
Perfect.
Why rent a Negro? And it's the number one that comes up on the search
engine. The first listing, yes.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. FAQs. Why rent a Negro? Why not buy? The purchase of African Americans was outlawed many years ago.
Yes.
The need for black people in your life has changed but not diminished. As our country strives to incorporate the faces of African Americans, you have to keep up. Rent a Negro offers you the chance to capitalize on your connection with a black person. At any gathering, our service can bring a freshness and tension that will keep things lively.
Wait a second.
Attention.
I'm beginning to think, you're kidding.
It's on the level.
No. It's legit?
I mean, Mike, I don't know. Hold on a second.
I don't know yet.
What the hell is it?
What satisfied customers say about Rent a Negro.
What do they say?
It's
total BS.
How to rent a Negro. Buy from Amazon.com.
Okay.
Book.
I'm blown away by this.
Oh. How do I rent a Negro? It's simple. Fill in and submit the rental request. How much does it cost? Each event is priced per hour and time of event. What can I expect from the service?
Jesus.
After viewing your rental agreement.
Oh, my God.
What can we expect?
Rent a Negro will attend your event.
Right.
Interact with your guests according to the expectations. Learn more. Is the service discreet? Here are some quotes. I would like to know more. Her speaking and writing voices are a surprise. I expected not so calm and endearing. MP, county employee. Let me see. Try this at home. It really works. You'll find the exercises easy to follow.
Exercise?
This has to be a joke.
This has got to be BS.
So why is it number one on Google? Why is it the number one?
Well, they either paid for that listing or it's the most popular destination.
Hold on a second.
For a search.
Now it's led me to Amazon.com.
Uh-huh.
And this appears to be an actual book, How to Rent a Negro. Yes. $9.72.
Good price. Could it be a fake Amazon ad?
No, it's real Amazon. I mean, there's no doubt.
Jesus. If you would like an African-American at your, say, party that would be otherwise occupied totally with white people, you can hire one or rent one through this service. That's what I've gathered so far.
You don't think it's a joke?
No.
No, hold on, Mike.
I think it's real.
I'm on Amazon all the time, and I'm telling you that now, come to my site and look at my screen. Look at this. You think this is a goof on Amazon? You're qualified for 2-day shipping on this item, where this item is free. How to rent a Negro?
Paperback. Marked down from $14.95 to
$9.72. Mm-hmm. Want it delivered Wednesday? Hey, you know, I should just buy it.
Yeah. Rent. Start renting today.
What?
I mean, remember, buy buying
the book.
Buy the book. Rent. All right.
Search inside
the person.
Oh, you know what? Let me there's a good feature on Amazon where it says you may be interested. Customers also shop for.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on.
This is mind-blowing.
Oh! Okay.
Is it a gag?
You may... No. No, it's not. Customers also shop for The Darkest Child by Dolores Phillips. Ego Trip's Big Book of Racism by Sakara Jenkins. When Affirmative Action Was White by Ira Katzelson. Bamboozled DVD, White Like Me by Tim Wise.
Wow.
Rent a Negro.
There seemed to be, just below the surface, or maybe not below the surface, a little undertone here.
Rob?
Especially with some of those book selections.
Here's a good way for you to work yourself back into the good graces of the show.
Oh, tell me.
By tomorrow at 3 o'clock?
Yes.
I want to know everything there is about Rent a Negro.
You got it.
Because I'm confused. I really am. Because you would think that that people would be screaming about this. Wouldn't you think?
You would.
I mean, you would think that this would cause kind of an uproar if this is on Amazon.
But it's not a gag.
No. And it doesn't seem to be a gag.
And it's number one when you Google Negro.
Is it even lighthearted in tone? I mean,
no.
You saw more of it.
It doesn't. It sounds, no. Nothing no. you were reading sounded anything. But I mean, it sounded a little racist.
What it says between the lines is, if you don't know any black folk and you want to go somewhere.
Right.
And you want to appear to be culturally diverse.
There were some of the quotes in there, calm and relaxed. That sounded a little racist there.
Well, imagine people who read the Negroes, yeah, Mike.
But see, what I'm thinking is,
they can't buy them.
Buzz is raising his hand.
Here are some more great quotes from satisfied customers. My friends still ask, how's that black friend of yours? I've introduced her to my mother. Family conversations haven't been boring since. Now I understand black people so much better. I want to share the experience with all my friends. These are satisfied customers.
I'll tell you, That's why this show is great.
Wow.
See, look at that. Look what you made me do.
Mm-hmm. See what I did?
You made me. No. See what I did, but thanks to you being such a screw-up.
But we'll have to do some more research on
rent.
And I'd like to know if anybody, like any organizations or anything like that, have gotten
this is
Robert up
in arms. Mail man for the Don's and Mike show.
I think it's a black-owned business.
It sounds like it might be.
I really do.
All right, well, Rob, work on that for tomorrow.
I'm going to feel really stupid if we find out that this is some big ruse.
Mike, what did you find out about Whipping Boys?
Don, I went to Google. And Whipping Boy, a Whipping Boy.
That
meaning
Rob.
The meaning of Whipping Boy. A scapegoat.
Yes.
One who is singled out for blame or punishment. Origin. It seems an odd notion to us now that a royal court would have kept a child for the purpose of beating him when the crown prince did wrong. Mm. That's just what did happen, though. Whipping Boy was an established position at the English court during the Tudor and Stuart monarchies of the 15th and 16th centuries. This may not have been quite as bad as it sounds. The Whipping Boys weren't hapless street urchins living a life of torment, but high-born companions to the royal princes. They were educated with the princes. They were educated with the princes and shared many of the privileges of royalty.
Ah.
The downside was that if the prince did wrong, the Whipping Boy was punished. It was considered a form of punishment to the prince that someone he cared about was made to suffer. The strangeness of the concept is a little easier to understand when put into context. The divine right of kings was the belief that legitimate kings were appointed by God.
Where does it say that it's just someone who screws up all the time?
It doesn't say it in here. It says they were answerable to God alone, so they couldn't really even be touched. And then another, it goes into the whole detail about
what it
is. Does
it say rentanegro.com?
It did before when I Googled that. In feuding times, a whipping boy was a boy of the same age but lower rank, raised with a prince or nobleman as a playmate. This is making more sense to me. Mm-hmm. Who was whipped in his place when the young nobleman, too high in standing to be beaten by anyone below his father,
hi there,
who was often unavailable, misbehaved or slacked in his studies as a psychological indirect punishment. So what they're saying is the whipping boy was punished and beaten because it would make the prince, it was his buddy. So if you were the buddy of a prince, you were like the whipping boy, and they punish.
He is my buddy.
Thousands of eerie similarities.
Well, but see, the only similarity you would have to find, when he's punished, you would have to feel pain.
I don't.
That's not going to happen.
I don't.
That's where the case falls to the ground.
Hey, John, also, it's a rock band in Ireland.
Hey, John.
Whipping Boy.
Hello.
Hold on, Mike, I got
a break. A hardcore punk band from San Jose.
We have breaking news, but I see it's gone now. Can you tell me the information that said Tom Gavin arrested on the screen?
What?
Joe? Yeah. Joe, did you have Tom? It said on the screen, Tom Gavin arrested.
Fill us in.
Almost arrested.
Oh, well, almost.
Where did he go? I mean, was the call parked there?
Details.
Yeah, I mean, he must have dropped off.
What did he say, Joe?
He said he almost got arrested for messing with the phone lines in the group home.
I mess with the phone.
You know what?
We have to speak to him about
that. It's got
to
be for tomorrow's show, too. Yeah.
Wow.
Rob, you got two jobs. First, find out about Rent a Negro.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then make sure we get Tom on tomorrow to talk about almost going to jail. Hello, Don and Mike show.
The Rebel.
Hello.
Hey, Don?
Yeah.
I was wondering if you guys have ever Googled the word failure and seen what the top listing is on there.
What is it?
George W. Bush.
True, I've done it.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks.
That can be manipulated, so it obviously has been.
F-A-I-L-U-R-E, failure. That would be Rob.
Failure. He's the first listing.
Okay, go, failure.
George W. Bush, biography of the 43rd President of the United States.
I laughed out loud driving to work today as I passed the George Bush Center for Intelligence. And I realized it was named for his father.
Yes,
because he was director of the CIA.
Those words together, funny.
Hold on, you know what? Let me try one more Google real fast.
All right.
I know you do this. So, R-E-T-A-R. Come on, I'm a retard myself. R-E-T-A-R-D.
Okay.
Retard. Let's see what happens for retard.
Here are your first. First, it says retard! Exclamation point. A page in the Menace Publishing and Manufacturing hierarchy, bringing you magazines, books, comics, films. Then the next one is Retard Disco.
Wow.
The Retard Disco label. Then you have YPL, Slow Mo, The Rapping Retard. Then you have Retard Cat. Then you have Retard Riot.
Are any of them a band in Ireland?
Hold on. Let me just go real fast to the official Retardobot site.
A Retardobot?
Retardobot?
Retardobot. What is this? This site requires Adobe Flash Player 9.
Sure enough.
Do we not have that installed yet? Probably not. Oh, Jesus Christ.
We're not going to be able to hear the retard about.
Who knows? Well, tomorrow, Mike.
Very
tomorrow
good.
Tomorrow we'll hear about that. We'll hear about
good.
It. Hold on. Do we have Rena Negro calls? Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah, the book is like this woman. I've seen it on C-SPAN. It's a woman, and she wrote a book about how in the past, like, people would touch her hair. You know, like, white people would be all curious about what the hair feels like and everything like that.
So it's a book of it's not really like a business or something.
No,
it's just the concept.
It's tongue in cheek.
Right. Okay.
Always tongue in cheek.
I bit my tongue.
Sparkles. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
Do you remember when George Costanza had the exterminator, the black exterminator, go to dinner with him, feeling like he had black friends?
Yes,
right.
That book reminded me of that.
Yeah,
I think
all right. Well, it sounds like that's what it's about.
Yeah, she's from here. She was born here anyway, this author.
Oh, so you've been doing some research as we speak.
Maybe it's a goof. Well, if nothing else, maybe, Rob, you can find out tomorrow about Retardobot.
I'd like that.
Retardobot.
Buzz, yes. Standing by with news and comments.
Yes, I am.
We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Not number 4 for long, my friends.
They are never deficient in vitamin love. Don and Mike.
I have information for you tomorrow about our next big ratings party.
Yay.
Our Reno-style show.
Very good.
Las Vegas-style show. Information on that for you tomorrow. Right before we get to Buzz, just a side note. I just told the fellas, I'm excited. I got a boner because it's football time.
That's right.
And tonight, I think we're all fans of Tony Kornheiser, everybody in this room.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Makes his debut tonight on Monday Night Football. I predict he'll be just a stone-cold smash. He's funny as hell. However, got to say this carefully, because Joe Theismann lives in the area and has been on our show occasionally for the last 20-some years. But I was watching him this morning on SportsCenter.
Yes.
Should have looked to me like Joe's had some work done.
Like a nip and a tuck?
Some elective surgery.
Is he shiny?
Does he look like maybe he's had a little lift?
It looks like he's
maybe had a little eyebrow lift?
The Michael Douglas face pull,
really,
is what it looked like to me.
You ever play in a Super Bowl, Don?
No, I have not, Buzz.
you haven't been there but a short time, Don. You ever been in a plastic surgery chair?
He did not have an ego reduction. But watch tonight.
You know, and if Joe gets wind of this, you know that phone's going to ring. He'll call us. He
but everybody,
us.
Really, seriously, watch tonight and then tell me tomorrow. If I'm full of crap, tell me. It looked to me like Theismann. I swear to Christ, I'm not saying this to get a rise out of him.
Had a little face.
It looks like he has had some work done.
So he looks different than in the commercial where he's in the slicker in RFK.
I love that commercial.
Yeah.
Where his breath is showing.
Yeah. Right. He told me that he didn't like shooting it because it was colder than it was supposed to be.
Yeah. It looks cold.
Buzz's news and comment now. Buzz brought to us tonight by Ford. Oh. Visit addictedtokelly.com for all your Kelly Clarkson tour info, as well as your exclusive video.
I am.
And a chance to win Kelly Clarkson's Mustang GT convertible. Our show on Westwood One, brought to you by Ford. Now here's Buzz.
Hi, Donna, Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
From a security standpoint, we're starting to get the hang of this liquid explosive thing. They have loosened the restrictions, as we discussed earlier in the show, loosened them a little on what you can and cannot carry onto an airplane.
I still can't bring my styling gel on.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Liquid medicine's now allowed, if it's 4 ounces or less, even non-prescription. Diabetics can now carry their glucose gel. Mike, you mentioned that. But
yep.
More importantly, women can carry their hard lipsticks.
Stop, are you applauding for diabetics?
And, well, I'm just looking ahead to my
future. And mom and dad...
Your future in diabetics.
Mom and dad can once again bring baby food on board. But gels are still a big concern. And Moose is out because it and all other aerosols are banned in carry-on luggage.
Moose is out front of the toilet.
That's right. Even baby toys and teethers made of gel are banned. And there's a real focus on the gel being used in shoes.
Could you bring gummy bears?
I don't know. I guess.
What about Jughead?
Jughead.
Monsignor Jughead.
Gel insoles have to be in checked luggage. Everybody's shoes now get x-rayed.
Are you gelling?
Hey, I wear these little orthotics for my corrective feet.
Right.
For my deformed feet.
Back to the braces.
But they're hard plastic.
Run, Morris, run.
If it's not made of gel, you're okay. If they're made of gel, you're going to prison for life.
These are designed to straighten my feet that are hideously deformed.
How's that work?
Don's seen my feet. It's the secret of the show, but now it might as well be my corrective
shoe. Rather movie Misery.
That's the
hobbling.
Misery, you know, hobbling is what mine looked like when I was born.
They'll give them back to you when they see you trying to walk to the tarmac.
My feet are fine. You remember the movie My Left Foot?
Yes.
That's what my feet are like.
Oh, well,
like Daniel Day-Lewis is in that.
Yeah, you'll be fine.
Overcome. Help.
And mothers with baby formula or breast milk still have to taste it before boarding with it. And
Hey,
who wants to go work for the TSA now?
I do.
There's a very good reason for that. Some of the folks planning
to wear my smoking jacket.
Ascot.
Sorry, ma'am, you're going to need to go to the tasting room. This is Officer Source.
Hello, darling.
Step this way. Follow me.
How are you, my love? You with a big pipe? What are you saying? You whipped out the old tap. Give Daddy a glass of the goodness.
Welcome to the tasting grotto.
Well, apparently, some of the folks planning to blow up 10 planes over the Atlantic day after tomorrow reportedly include a man, his wife, and their 6-month-old baby.
Jesus.
A London paper quotes a senior British security official saying, "These are women who are prepared to die with their babies for their cause. Our biggest concern now is all the unknown players who may be out there." He describes using a baby bottle to carry liquid explosives a very good cover.
Little baby Baruz. I think it's back to 24.
Right.
Thank you very much, son.
Baruz.
Before we blow up the plane, I will let you suck on a cinnamon stick. May I drink your milk?
No! Oh!
Would you like to know my real actress name?
Yes, what is your name?
I am Shore Agdushlu. Thank you.
This milk tastes like cinnamon.
Very good.
And although you can carry your cell phone, iPod, or laptop onto a plane...
Are you insane, Jack? Her name's Shore Agdushlu, and she's going to blow the plane up with baby formula.
Although you can carry your cell phone, iPod, and laptop onto a plane in this country, they're still banned on British flights.
That's classified.
Any of those could have been the detonation device on Wednesday.
Please bring me back for next season.
And the nervousness about that caused the British Airways flight to New York to turn back to Heathrow when a cell phone rang mid-flight. And when it was all over, nobody claimed the phone. I wouldn't if it was mine.
But now, see, here's the thing. I heard that
but they can find out who the phone belongs to.
It's easy enough to find your last number dialed and everything else.
Right. Well, fortunately, the phone and its data were found to be harmless. But that's why Walmart called the cops after 3 Palestinian-American men bought 80 cell phones in Detroit. When police and the feds pulled over the trio, they found 1,000 cell phones in their van.
Jesus Christ.
The men are now being questioned in connection with a plot to blow up a bridge in Detroit.
You know, more than one guy has been arrested on this charge in different parts of the country.
Right.
I'm sure that these guys are guilty. But let me just say that I know from having an Earth Dog brother that, yeah... There are people who will, like, go and buy disposable phones.
Right.
And then go out and resell them to someone who can't buy it, and not someone who wants to blow up a plane.
Right.
It's like someone who doesn't have a telephone.
Right, that's okay. Very common.
And can't get to Walmart to buy a disposable cell phone. Now, right. The fact that these guys had 80
or 1,000
at home, but they had bought 80 in Walmart and right. Paid cash for them.
Uh-huh. Right.
That's a little hinky.
Plus, they had removed all the batteries and chargers from them. These cell phones are also used to set off IEDs in Iraq and other places. So
gotcha.
That may have been a factor also.
Gotcha. But I know that my brother, at one point, I shouldn't say this, the SWAT team will be around his
knock on his door.
Wisconsin shack tonight.
Mr. Source.
I know for a while that he was involved yeah. in some type of racket like that.
Yeah.
He fill his pond with cell phones.
But even the Pope knows, if you don't laugh, you cry. That's our story when we come back.
The Pope, just a man.
Yeah, Bishop Bone.
Legend Bone. So horny. Oh, wrong Pope. Oh, 24.
How are you, Your Holiness?
Hey, I understand. Don has the first pick in the fantasy draft.
Which would you like? The cinnamon stick? Or the Marlboro.
Some of your mother's milk.
You got it, bro.
I'm JP, too.
Step into the Michael Source grotto. Shore Adushlu.
He's going to hell. So's his friend Michael Mara.
Oh, you bet he is. Yes. He will not be able to overeat down there.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
The word from Planet Crackpot.
The Don and Mike Show.
Get ready for a comedy concussion with Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Tomorrow, really, DJ Promise. You know I mean it. Tomorrow I'll have Rob do his Dolores thing.
Yeah. We've
been promoting that for a while. We've just not gotten to it. Well, tomorrow we'll find out why Tom Gavin almost got put in jail.
Oh, my God.
Oh, also tomorrow a very special guest from our Weirdo Rolodex. And, oh, yes, Rent a Negro.
Yes, we'll find out exactly what the deal is.
All of that on tomorrow's episode. Along with the announcement about our big listener appreciation party.
Right.
So lots of stuff is happening. And now here's what's... And don't forget, Elvis is still dead. Mm-hmm. Wednesday, all Elvis, all the time.
That's right. Or is he?
It is our tribute show.
Right. I know that there is a segment I was reading in the paper today about the fact that they still think he's alive.
Yes.
Suckers. Somewhere, somehow.
Oh, you suckers.
Oh, we might all be suckers.
Okay. Why don't you suck on this?
When are you coming over so I can F you?
Where's the suck one?
You are incredibly immature. You can suck this.
There it is.
Hey, you faggot.
Phil.
Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Did we jump the gun in arresting the 24 suspects in this week's plot?
Mm.
Turns out early reports were wrong. The suspects did not have airline reservations, and most of them don't even have passports. Even though a one-person dry run had been scheduled, the Brits reportedly wanted to wait at least another week to gather more evidence and to arrest more suspects.
I had those this weekend.
You had what?
The dry runs.
Oh, was it tough?
That's
painful, I know. That's when it's all the feelings are the same, except there's nothing there.
Nothing coming out.
No satisfaction. Yeah.
All the effort, no results.
A lot of air. The White House denies reports it pressured Britain to make those arrests sooner rather than later. But, as I said, the Pope knows, if you don't laugh, you cry. He says he'd like to visit the Holy Land someday when the smoke clears. And in some unusually candid remarks for a pontiff...
Hey, I got your candid remarks there, Donnie.
There he is.
Oh, there he is.
How are you doing? Pope Ratzenberger here. How are you?
You're proud, right? You're German?
German. Germany, yes. Germany's my home. But, you know, I've made my home the Vatican for a number of years there, Donnie. And, you know, your Middle East conflict is nothing new. I've been around the block, seen these things flare up, you know, just kind of like a brush fire. Just when you think you got it out, it flares up again there, Donnie.
How's that Cheers thing going for you? Were you trying to sue all those restaurants and airports?
Yeah. Well, you might be talking about my American cousin. Right, my American cousin who played Cliff on the Cheers. It's an old news thing, you know, Hollywood litigation. They go together like, you know, bagels and lox. There's no problem there. But I want to say hi to all my Catholic constituencies. This is your Pope. And Pope Benjamin saying, rock on, baby.
Hey, nice robe.
Thanks so much. You want to look under it?
Thank you.
You'd be surprised at what you'd see.
I'll bet.
Smooth.
In a TV interview, Pope Benedict, he wasn't that candid, but he did say that being Pope is, and I quote, really tiring.
And remember, as I always say when I drop by, try my eggs.
I love Eggs Benedict.
Thank you.
But despite the smoldering Holy Land and the ball-busting job, Pope Benedict also said in the interview that it's important, quote, to see the funny side of life.
You betcha. Sunny side of life. to the comedy. Comedy is my life. Really enjoyed it.
There it is. Pope endorses Don and Mike show. Go in peace.
Very good.
On one hand, this, what you're about to hear, it's a scientific study that proves what we already know. But on the other hand, it proves we were right and that it's not just all in our heads.
What are you talking about, Buzz?
Women, not as horny after they get married. Men, no change.
That's right.
German.
That's right.
German.
That's right.
German.
That's
research.
Right. That's right.
That's right.
That's right. Oh, we're sorry.
A lot of agreement there. German researchers at Hamburg Eppendorf University have researched this.
Hamburg Eppendorf.
And 92. Here come the numbers. Among 30-year-old women, 60% want sex more often at the start of a relationship.
That's right. 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 That's right.
It drops to 50% after 4 years.
I press buttons. How are you? How are you?
After 20 years, it has dropped 20%. Generally speaking, of course, actual mileage may vary. Men hold steady in their desire right between 60 and 80%
of the entire
life.
And we mean hold steady.
Come on.
Now, let's talk about tenderness. 90% of women want tenderness their entire lives. That number never changes. Among men who've been with the same woman 10 years or more, 25%.
Are you an idiot? Are you a moron?
See?
Are you effing stupid?
Mind your own effing business. Leave me the F alone. Shut the F up.
See, it's not just you.
I think you are way out of control.
Bless her heart, she can't add two and two, but she got a great body and I'm taking her home.
Now, despite what you hear, adults are still having sex with each other. That story when we continue.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
Thank you there, Buzz.
Mind your own effing business. Leave me the F alone. I hate you. F you. Shut the F up.
And bless you.
You're Dr. trading Bill. Sex for alcohol and cigarettes.
I am. And I'm sorry. I apologize to everybody for that.
Who are you again?
I'm your Pope Benedict.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
Like 15 inches of strap-on comedy. The Don and Mike Show.
Once again, here is Buzz.
He's quite the joker.
Hello there, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
I'm Buzz. Cesar Romero.
Hello. Finally.
Hi, Batman.
In Michigan, a woman going for surgery arranged for her 15-year-old daughter to have sex with her boyfriend so he wouldn't leave her while she was recuperating.
That's a good mommy.
So thoughtful and yet so illegal. For her part, the girl would finally get those piercings she's been wanting and some new clothes.
Oh, gross.
So over the course of about 2 months, she did the 37-year-old boyfriend about 20 times. Piercing and clothing are not cheap, my friend. The mother and boyfriend are going to jail.
You.
And yes, despite what you hear, adults are still having sex with each other. In Estonia, a woman had to be rescued by firefighters after some rather vigorous lovemaking.
Yeah.
She and her lover were doing it in an old house in the capital city of Tallinn, and she fell through the floor. Firemen used a ladder to rescue her from the, from the 9-foot-deep basement.
Oh, dear.
Paramedics say she was conscious and breathing heavily. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Dirty.
Very dirty.
Yes.
Caesar, we gotta go.
I don't like that kind of dirty comedy.
I know.
I really don't.
Who are you?
Caesar Romero. I'm Caesar Romero. All right, we gotta go. Good day to you, sir, Batman.
Good day to you, Batman.
Good day to you, sir.
All right, Kong, can you recommend a good adjustable bed?
No, I can't, whipping boy.
Oh, no.
See you tomorrow, Dylan Negro.
Bye.
Rent a Negro. Negro something.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.